Blog Talk Radio.
How do we do this? Okay, one of the things happening here is the idea of the situation. Hello, everybody. It's a Psychic Ex-Journeyman here on Psychic Ex-Journeyman Talk Radio. Actually, Psychic Ex-Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? I was in the chat room for a minute. Sorry, guys. We had a little thing going on, a little silence. Didn't mean to freak out or nothing, but hey, we're back. We got some callers in the queue. We're actually checking people in the chat room, too, as well. Somebody say what? Okay. Whatever. Anyway, it was one of those things of trying to figure this phone out and the idea of going back to the situation of picking a call up that we had before. All right, if anybody has a question in the chat, please don't hesitate to ask, okay? Also, if you want to call and get a reading tonight, please do so at 646-721-9031. Okay. Okay, and also if you want to get a private reading, please give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699 or contact me through my website at www.psychicexjourneyman.com. The holiday special we got going on is you can get any reading, even our 90-minute readings for only a dollar a minute. So give us a call. We'd be glad to sit down and work with you and that kind of thing. We do all kinds of work. We do parties. We do group readings. We do relationship counseling, life coaching. We work with children with special gifts. Also work with the parents to help them realize maybe if they have a special child, they're also a special parent. It's the idea of helping both work together to actually do that. Those sessions are usually 90-minute sessions, which usually go for $135. But for this holiday season, you can get that for a dollar a minute. That's only $90 instead of the regular $135. Also, usually our 75-minute readings are $125 a reading, but during the holiday season, you can get it for a dollar. Dollar a minute. So give us a call at 740-500-8863 or (719) 344-8699 or contact me through my website at www.psychicexjourneyman.com. If you want to reduce your phone bill by almost half, depending on what your phone bill looks like, I know I have my phone bill through Sprint was $150. Whoa! Just thinking about that, I fell off my seat. Okay, so then I switched over to Straight Talk. Go to www.straighttalk.com. Check out their phones, and their plans, because for only $45 a month, you can get unlimited everything. It's texting, minutes, and internet. So check it out. It'll be great. www.straighttalk.com or go to your local Walmart. And it's one of those things, a done deal. But if you go on the internet, they actually have some really great holiday specials going on, too, for the phones. You can actually get the phone I got, which is usually, I think, $129. And you can get this phone right now for only $69. So check it out. www.straighttalk.com. All right, let's go into our little situation here and go back to the queue. And let's all start talking to you. Okay, let's go to our first caller. Let's see. First caller is actually area code 540. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hello, I'm Danielle. How are you?
Hello, Danielle. Are you calling from Maryland?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Okay, I just thought I recognize that area code because I used to live in Maryland.
I'm in Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay. So how can we help you tonight? You said, your name is Danielle. When's your birthday?
6/13/81.
6/13, that's what? June 13th?
Yes.
So you're a Gemini.
Yeah.
you're the second person I've talked to today with that same birthday, June 13th.
Gemini. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of wild, isn't it?
Yeah, and I got a Scorpio moon.
A Scorpio moon?
Yeah.
What year?
Of 81,
1981. Yeah. Okay. And what's your rising sign?
Leo.
That's really interesting. What we got here? Fire, water, and air. A lot of swirling going on there.
Yeah.
So how can we help you today?
Well, I've never called into this show before, so I guess what messages do you have for me?
Stop eating Twinkies. Anyway.
I used to eat Twinkies.
And how come you don't eat Twinkies now?
They're not very good for you.
That's true, too. But a lot of people, it doesn't matter. They still keep eating them anyway.
Yeah, I know.
You know, with the situation of messages and that kind of stuff is the ideal. What's focusing in your life? Because, you know, like we talked about before, I mean, we tell everybody we do readings. We do full-fledged readings, so the idea of asking questions and getting the whole idea. Because I was sitting there talking to someone before, they came on the show, and they said, well, you should start doing radio. You should start doing your show like everybody else, really only give people a couple questions and move on. I said, okay, self-centered butthead. And people are like, what? And that's what he's doing. The person's giving me the advice because he wants to get on the air quicker. So we decided to put it. So we started to change things and said, okay, we like being different than everybody else. And so therefore, we decided to do real readings because we were already doing real readings. If you, like you said before, you've never tapped in the show. One night I actually did a reading for a lady. It took 40 minutes.
Wow.
But the situation is like this. When you're doing this kind of work and that stuff, you're helping people, right? How can you help people with two questions who's walking off scratching their head?
Right.
Okay, so with your situation, you're a Gemini. You know, the biggest thing you get with you is Archangel Gabriel. And you know why you get Archangel Gabriel? Because it's the idea of communication.
Yeah, he said, I was just reading about the Archangels a while ago. I read about the Archangels. I have a paper right here in front of me.
That's interesting. But that was the biggest thing we got right off the bat, which is just the idea of focusing on oneself. But a lot of people are sitting there going, I don't know what to do in the process of focusing on me when they don't realize it's just the idea of learning how to communicate with yourself and ask yourself, what do you really want to do?
Right.
with every situation that happens, what do you want to do?
Are you asking me?
Yeah. Because it seems like there's a hesitation in the process of actually pursuing what you really want to do.
Oh, well, yeah, you're right about that.
Try to find the chat room. Anyway, I'm just saying, when you sort of look at the situation, what's the one thing that can happen out of a lot of things is the idea of, now there's another person in the chat room who's got a daughter, daughter's birthday is June 13th.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm like, okay, and there was a girl who came to my shop who also, I think, had the birthday of June 13th, too. It was either 13th or 15th. I'm just like, okay, we're getting this thing about Geminis, and there is a girl, I would say, dear to me, her birthday is June 14th, who I've been... I wouldn't say, it's one of those things we sit and talk about a lot of things with relationship, that we shouldn't put ourselves in the situation of waiting, because in the process of waiting means we're still attached to it. And we need to let go. And the idea of even helping people understand the word let go means let go and allow. Let go and let God. It's the idea of the strongest faith you can have is the idea of letting go and allowing things to happen. And then when the situations of opportunities present themselves, following through with them. Because everything that comes into your life comes into your life for a reason. Because you manifested it to learn something more about yourself. You there?
Listening.
I'm trying to find my way back. It's one of those things, it's great to have a co-host sometimes where you can have someone do the chat room for you. So you can actually find your way back. All right. So like with you, do you realize that in the tarot cards, do you know what card represents you as a Jedi?
High priest.
Not really. It's actually the lover's card.
Well, yeah, but, in that sense, yes.
But you're talking about personally.
Right.
You're talking about personally, high priestess.
Right.
Yes, you are. Yes, with the situation that you're right, the idea of energy and intuition. And, you know, it's kind of crazy where you sit here and focus on the high priestess as your card when you're not really focusing on the idea of your intuition, your heightened psychic abilities, your power within to actually create the world you want and to actually manifest things that you want in your life, as in career, relationships, and that kind of stuff. It's not the ideal sitting and go, okay, you're a bad girl for not doing that. I'm just pointing it out and saying, you know something, you know, we're all looking for a place to start. And when you sit there and, because we had this the other day, it was really pissing me off, and I'll tell you why. It's because this person sitting there going, you know something, with all these realizations are happening, I'm just not really ready. I was like, oh, shut up. Realizations don't happen. Because the person was trying to convince me she wasn't ready to face them, not realizing they're happening. The reason they're happening, because the contradiction is she is ready. She's only fooling herself. This is what we call the most selfish person in the world, because she's being selfish with herself and not allowing these things in which she manifested into her life to learn to face her fears. It's like relationships, okay? The reason we attract people into our lives, one of the reasons is to confront those fears. Okay, we sit there and we make a decision. I'm ready to be in a relationship. I'm ready to have something real. And the process of having those situations, you got to confront the fears that were created by the bad relationships and the situations you've gone through. So therefore, you've manifested this person into your life to confront those fears. And the process of confronting those fears, guess what happens? You have a great relationship. But
right. The
key is, if you decide to not listen and you push that person away, maybe in the favor of going back to an old one, or just telling yourself you're not ready, you don't realize by pushing that person away, you've opened a space. And if you don't confront your fears, what happens? Those fears manifest into physical realities of situations and that kind of stuff that you're going to have to deal with. You can put a smile on your face and go, you know, that's just how life is. Or you can sit and look at the situation going, oops, and correct the situation. Because when you look at the idea, it's like most people have this desire to move on. And the first thing that gets in their head is a panic because there's maybe a person they don't want to sever ties with just yet. They want to sit there and see if it can happen again. They don't realize the card is right on the money when it says a desire to move on, which means you've made a decision to move from one point of moving forward, opening yourself up for another opportunity to be with that person. You can't go back. So the idea of even focusing on that situation can actually manifest in crazy situations of trying to get back with somebody where it could be chaotic, when you should actually sit there and let go, detach, and just allow it to happen, which means by moving forward is more than likely going to give you more of a chance of having an opportunity to be with that person again in the process of having a relationship. But the first thing you need to focus on is the idea, what do you want? I get the impression you've compromised. With each compromise, you've compromised. That didn't sound right. With each compromise, you've compromised yourself. So I guess I was going in the right direction. I got to listen to the messages.
Right.
Would you agree or disagree?
I agree wholeheartedly, but how do I let go?
It's like this, sweetie. You have to realize the idea, the easiest way to let go is the idea of a visualization of seeing yourself on a boat. Okay? And simply all you have to do is let go of the rope that's anchoring you to shore. So therefore, you can start moving forward. And it's like one of those visualizations. It's really good, too. But you just sit there and focus. You let go of the rope, see your visuals, and next thing you know, you're in the flow going forward. See, because we all make it hard. The reason we're making it hard because we're somewhere within ourselves is saying, you know something, you're not really let go of this, are you? And then we have to sit and go, you know something, you're right. Why am I not ready to let go of this? Because most people have this little chance, and they don't realize if they don't let go of it, which means let go of the old relationship, you'll never have a chance to have that new one. Because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a new relationship. Be a totally different ballpark.
Right.
But we're always sitting there trying to, that's why a lot of people are having trouble with relationships right now, because they're trying to basically create the ones they had before, which didn't work out because they ended in the situation they did. So everybody's wanting to correct it. So it's like a contradiction. I want to correct the problems within that relationship. At the same time, they're trying to create the same relationship. That's the idea of looking at a person as, okay, you move forward. You do let go. You move forward. There's going to be an opportunity of crossing paths with that person one more time. And then it's the idea of looking at that opportunity of doing things differently. Okay, go ahead.
I've been trying to just let it go and just move on, and I'm in the process of moving on with my life. I can't stop thinking about him.
Okay, look at this way. Why do you keep thinking about him? Like, what's the one vision? What's the one thing that you keep thinking about all the time? Okay, are you thinking and focusing on what you guys did together?
Yeah, I just want to snuggle with him. And watch movies and do fun things and go bike riding and swimming and all, these things that normal people do.
Well, first of all, take the word normal off of it and just say people, okay?
Yeah, okay, right, yeah.
People are people. And there are all kinds of different ways and different situations and all kinds of stuff. It's just the idea of looking at who you're talking about and asking yourself with the situation. Can you accept this person for who they are?
At this point, with his behavior that has been on in the past, no.
Okay, sweetie, I'll ask the question one more time. Now listen to me. Can you accept him for who he is? Because the way he's acting right now is who he is right now. So therefore, the things that you think he's doing to you and the process of hurting you and all that kind of things, he's not. What he's doing is he's just being who he is. So what you need to do is accept him for who he is, the things that he does. Doesn't matter if you like them or don't like them. It's the idea of acceptance. This is the first step to actually sitting there and say, okay, I can move on from this situation, to realize what he's doing to you at this moment is who he really is. So it's the ideal. Can you accept that? Once you accept that, then you can realize why it would be so easy to move on. Because in the process of the realizations you're going through, so will he. So the idea of the separation between the two of you is happening for a reason, because he's not accepting what you guys had, because he doesn't accept himself. With some kind of anger goes along with it too.
Right.
But it's all like a frustration within him. So you see, the reason you need to detach from this and let it go, because really at this time in his life, he's not good for you. That's the simple thing about the situation is. And say, okay, is he ever going to be good for you? The impression I get is yes, he will. But it only will happen at the time you let go of him completely. It's the ideal. Every time you catch yourself thinking about something, thinking about him, thinking about a scenario or a situation that you were going through, what you do is you sit there and find something to do. You have all kinds of talents. You had all kinds of things you pushed to the side in favor of this relationship. Now it's time to reconnect with those situations, because that's actually reconnecting with you. Does that make sense?
It does, yes.
Think about this situation. He's not, right now, he can be a beautiful person, but he's not, because of frustration, conflicts within himself, okay? But the only person who can deal with those situations is him, not you. And the idea of understanding him doesn't make it any easier. It actually puts you in a situation of getting hurt more, which you've made that decision to put yourself in that position. So what you need to do is ask yourself right now, what is good for me? And realistically, where you're at right now in the process of separation is really a good place for you, where you can actually focus on you and do what you got to do. That's the thing about it too, okay? It's a real easy situation to do. Trust me. If you sit there and focus on you and not really find who you are, it's the idea of accepting you also as well as who you are. When you look at this guy, I want you to sit there and ask yourself a question. What does he reflect back at me about myself? Because that's what he is. You manifested him, he manifested you. It seems like you were willing to face your fears to have a good relationship. He is not. And what he's doing is just not. So what you need to do is look at the... I'm just saying, it's like I have a phrase, okay? Every good thing you desire comes to you. If it doesn't come to you, then it's not good for you. It doesn't mean it never will be good for you. But the situation is, every good thing you desire comes to you. So if it's not really working for you, it does not contribute to your happiness, then it's one of those things you have to let go of. But the hardest thing about situations like this is when you love somebody, you think that we should do certain things of sacrifice. It's bullshit. Okay? Sacrifice happens in the process of saying, okay, boyfriend wants to go get ice cream, I don't. So you have a tendency to compromise a little bit. So, you know, what's it going to hurt to go get ice cream? But you never, ever sacrifice who you are. My mom said that one time, you got to give up yourself for your kids. I said, okay, if that's the case, then what are you going to pass on to them? If you've given everything up, you don't. It's like the people say, I'm a selfless person. I said, get away from me. Because that word really means to me selfish. Because the person's like saying, hey, look at me. I'm selfless. I give. No, me personally, the person who really gives is a person who gives of themselves. But you cannot give of yourself if there's no self.
Right.
So the ideal, so look at the situation. This guy does not like himself. But it seems like you do. In a situation like this, if a person doesn't love themselves unconditionally, then it reflects back at you to do the same. Love yourself unconditionally. It's like two people come together on the same page. And then people go, what's that mean? That means two people love themselves unconditionally. They accept themselves for who they are. And in the process of coming together and manifesting a person in their lives, it's the idea I'm ready to share that with somebody. And I know I have certain issues or maybe intimacy or just the idea of commitment problems, that kind of thing. But you manifested this relationship to face those fears, because you know once you do, then you'll have what you want, which is a good relationship, okay? But also in the situations, you also understand it's also a reflection to you to commit to yourself. What do you want? And then you sit down with the person you're with, and I guarantee you with that kind of expectations, you can actually come out with a win-win situation.
Right.
But it starts with you. It's like looking at yourself in the mirror going, I'm a fantastic, awesome person. Doesn't matter if I have a fat ass. I'm still awesome. Okay? That kind of freaking thing. It was in there, put it out there and say, hey, you know something? I always tell people who let their bodies dictate their actions, their emotions, make decisions for them. Emotions were never made to make decisions. They were actually there to express what you decide you're going to do. It's the idea of the spiritual part comes first in relationship. When you meet each other, I've had a lot of people ask me this question. They were confused when they met their spouse because they wasn't sexually attracted to them. But they decided that they had a connection, so they decided to let that connection guide, you know, the idea, okay, I feel with my guidance, my intention, or my intuition says to follow through with this. And then they did. In the process of allowing this spiritual connection to continue, they actually found true love between each other. Then the physical came in, because all the physical was ever made for was to express what has been created with two spirits coming together and the love that they created. It's like this. Look at the symbolism, okay? You are a circle. The circle represents you loving yourself unconditionally within yourself, okay? And right. Then you meet somebody who also loves themselves unconditionally. We have another circle, energy. The circle is the omega. It's continuous true love with himself. It's also representing that when you do love yourself, you're also connecting completely to the spirit. When you connect with the spirit, you're also connecting to God. Because you are, you know, you're actually, how will we put this? I'm trying to put this in the right way. You are a creation, a spiritual creation from God, okay? So therefore, you connect to the spirit self, you connect to God. So therefore, when you love yourself, you love God. When you love God, you love yourself because you're one and the same, okay? So two people come together. You take those two circles and you put them together. What do you get? You get the symbol for infinity, and that's how love goes between two people. It's not a two-way street. It's continuous. So you have that symbol of infinity. So you have this snaking energy in a figure eight going between the two of you constantly, okay? When one person decides they don't want to do that and they block it off, then you can't continue to go on any further. You need to pull back, complete your circle within yourself, and ask yourself if I have actually stopped loving myself in some sense of the word of what I've given to him. Because realistically, you're not supposed to give him anything of yourself. The love that was created between the two of you, it just happens. It's a very spontaneous thing. And people are trying to create these things. They think compatibility. You know, I had a wife who sat there and said it took us 3 months to create a baby, when actually it was just one act. But do you see how people have this illusion of what they think it is? They can actually reflect in a very negative way in their own lives. It's the same thing with love. You don't create love. You find it. You allow it to happen. So in the process of two people getting together, compatibility and getting to know each other is basically bringing down the walls. And when you bring down the walls, what happens? Okay, well, say we got water behind those walls. What happens? You let the walls down, the water comes out. It's the same thing with love. It's always been there. It's just the idea of how much you're going to open up and let that come out. And then when that love does come out, then you're going to see those symbols really connecting with each other, and then you're going to feel that every time you're around this person, you don't have to have this person tell you. These are the great relationships. You know, people say, I love you. Just matter-of-factly, I love you. But then we have these insecure relationships where people are going, I love you. Hello. You're not saying it back. That's an insecurity. Saying, I have to hear it over and over again to believe it. When realistically, it's self-doubt within oneself if they love themselves or not. You all writing this down? Anyway, I'm just saying, when you sit there and look at the situation, just let it resonate with you. If you don't catch this, guys, just go back in the archives and catch it again. Everything's recorded. Okay, I'm just saying, this is very important, and the ideal connections we're looking for to understand what connection means. It's this two spirits reconnecting, which pretty much have happened, if you believe in past lives, it probably has happened many, many times.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Also, we want to specify okay, I've seen this before, too, where people go, well, me and this guy are soulmate. Crack! Oh, he just smacked her to freaking jaw again. And she goes, I'm going to stay with him because we're soulmates. I'm sitting there going, are you a nut? And she was like, what? Just because you're soulmates and twin flames is no justification to stay in an abusive relationship with somebody smacking you down, or even verbal abuse. It's the idea of realizing that with actions, there are consequences. And if those people never put in those consequences, they don't learn to appreciate what they had, and even appreciate themselves, because more likely the appreciation started within themselves is why they're taking it out on you, because they don't appreciate anything, because they can't appreciate themselves. It's like the guy that you was with. I get the impression it's more or less of not appreciation, where you couldn't really see who you were,
right,
who you are. And the reason he couldn't do that is because he couldn't see himself, or he would allow it. So you see, you look at a situation, what can you do? The only thing you really can do is walk away and live your life and be the true, you know, be your total, complete self. Because realistically, when you two were brought, when you guys were attracted to each other, I guarantee you, you are being who you are. You were in a comfortable place, you were good, you felt good about yourself, or it would never happen.
Right.
It's just a breakdown, like I said, like I was asking you to do. Look at the reflection. What does he reflect back about you on how you feel about you? Because the one thing he wasn't doing, realistically, he wasn't trusting exactly what this was all about. It's a learning experience. The idea of love is the idea of accepting people unconditionally. The reason people can't accept people unconditionally is because they can't accept themselves. They're not being their complete selves. So we can actually look at these situations and go, okay, this person is phony. Not in a bad way, just the idea of stating a fact. I was in a situation where I told a girl she was a liar. Okay, was I saying it because I was trying to be mean to her? No. It's a fact that when a person, when you have situations to help you understand him in the department of denial, you know, it's like looking at you, so you basically look in a situation of, I'm not worthy, go find somebody else, or looking at you and just treating you in a situation where they don't want to acknowledge how they feel about you. That's definitely denial. And the reason they do that is because they just don't like themselves. It's kind of hard to put in words and say, okay, this person just doesn't get it and doesn't want to. It's a decision, because I guarantee you, when two people come together, they both know one's willing to accept it and the other one's not. And when great relationships happen, both parties are saying, yeah, let's do this, and they start going forward together. They're still individuals, which is very important in relationships, and to keep that individuality, because it actually contributes to the foundation of the relationship. When you start, I've seen this before too, where we look at codependency. What is codependency? It's when a person attracts you into their lives and then wants to build their foundation on you.
Right.
Okay, so they basically depend on you for everything. And then they get to a point in their lives where they're just like, okay, I'm not happy with me. One reason is because they don't know who they are, because they've always done that. There's an insecurity. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel like they have any worth. So they feel like they always got to find somebody who does. And in the process of building their foundation on them, they feel like they are something. And then we've seen this before. When the person leaves, they're all ticked off. And they're resentful. Why did this person leave me? Why did he do this? Why did she do that? It's right there, blaming everybody for everything, which also gives you insights to a person of how much foundation they have within themselves, because they're blaming everybody else, because every one of those people was part of the codependency. People have a tendency to depend on everybody. That codependency. So all those
right.
people that they're ticked off at was a part of the foundation within them. The illusion was they never was. And when those people let them down, that's why they blame them. Instead of looking at themselves and say, okay, what does this tell me about myself? They just want to blame and say, okay, that person should have loved me more, or they should have been here more. I've seen this with a lot of friends lately too. Well, this person should have did this. And I'm like, why? Nobody has to do anything. Nobody's responsible for you except for you. It's one of those things where you look at people and go, I guarantee you, if you take 100% accountability for your actions right now, your life will start getting better tomorrow. It's the idea of the decisions you made and places you put yourself into, even the process of getting killed. You're sitting and look at your body going, well, that was a bad one. but it happens. You know, but it's, you know, that's one thing we have a hard time with our kids. You know, what happens when my kid goes out there and gets in a car accident because they did something stupid, not realizing the consequences of their actions dictated that outcome.
Right.
So even with our kids, we start realizing one thing. All we can really do is give them information to make better decisions, but it's still up to them to do that. And even after you've done that, you know, you have to step back and detach yourself from those situations, too, to realize everybody came here for a purpose. They either embrace it or they don't, but that's their lives. So when you start thinking about all those things out there just like that, then you start thinking about, okay, how much have I been focusing on me? You can still be the most unselfish person and give to charity and all kinds of stuff, but I guarantee you'll be more successful at those situations. Even relationships, if you're in a great relationship, it's easier to give when one really loves themselves. You feel good about you, so you have no problem giving. So you look at your friend, he's just not in the mood or position to receive what you've been giving. So that all the things that you want, you can still have. That's the biggest thing I talk to people about, too. They're going, well, if I don't have this guy, my life's screwed. I said, you know something? You're right. But if you believe the opposite, you're right. It's a simple phrase that we used to have where we sit here and go, okay, if you think you don't have enough time, you're right. If you think you do have enough time, you're right. It's perception. What is time? What is a minute? Can you really give a definition to what a minute is? Sure, you can sit here and say it's 60 seconds. No, what I'm saying is, what is a minute? Realistically, okay. If you think about it, a minute in its definition is your perception. One person could sit there and think 15 minutes is like forever because they're sitting there waiting and doing something and I'm interactive. They're inactive, so time is just... But you ever see people who actually do things all the time?
Right.
Time flies. So see the perception there? It's different. Some people can sit there and look at the situation. I've done this before myself, where it's like I had a friend of mine. She picked up her boyfriend, and he was in the front seat, pissed off at her because she got there too late, as he put it. We only got 10 minutes to get to the bank. We'll get to the bank and cash his check. And then all he kept on saying was, "We're never gonna make it. We're never gonna make it." I'm in the back seat going, "We're gonna be 5 minutes early. We're gonna be 5 minutes early." I always say positive over counters negative every time. Because I was sitting in the back seat going, we're going to be there 5 minutes early. We're going to be 5 minutes early. Because I was focusing on being there 5 minutes early because it's going to contribute to a lot of people in a very positive way. His wasn't. So mine overruled his because we actually got there 5 minutes early. And if you would have seen the distance we were in and where we were at, we should have been 5 minutes late. But we wasn't. So you look at the situation of that simple little thing, tells you what can you actually manifest in your life. And it seems like in some sense the word, anything. But you also have to look at the situation of relationships. It's the idea of detaching from them, letting them go, because if you do that, then you don't see anything that could keep you from focusing on you and what you want to create. That's why I always say when you're manifesting things, I have a book called Super Beings by John Randolph Price. You should get that. It's got a section in there where it gives you the rules, what you should do when you're manifesting things. And the very first rule is don't tell nobody because you don't want to deal with their energy. Okay.
Right.
The only person you should ever tell is somebody who's on the same level as you in the process. Like, say you have a friend and you're both in the process of manifesting a boyfriend. Okay. You could discuss with her because your goal is a positive one and a positive outcome. But you would never want to sit there and share with somebody who constantly bitches about their husband because that would actually work against you and the idea of attracting a great relationship. But first you have, they always say, go ahead.
I'm listening.
Oh, my book back then. I got a book out there. It's called The Soulmate Secret, How to Find Your Soulmate. It's a good book because it's got a lot of phrases in there. But one of the phrases in there talks about the ideal. It talks about basically it's not your job to seek love. What your job is to seek within yourself to remove the blocks that keep you from such. Okay? I was there talking to a friend of mine today. I said, okay, we could simplify the whole thing, okay? And relationships are everywhere. Even your foot to the floor is a relationship. And how successful that relationship is, between your foot and that floor, you successfully walk wherever you want to go. Okay, but we also have the situation where we fall down. What do we do when we fall down? Do we just sit there? Do we just lay there? Say, poor me, I'll never walk again? No, we find a solution, we get back up, we make sure it never happens again. If we could do the same thing with our relationships and let go that easily, do you realize how there would probably be more great relationships in this world than there are bad ones?
Yeah.
Simple. It's just we all want to make it complicated because we're not willing to let go of people because of the fear of never seeing them again. If that's the case, then go write a poem. The fear that you'd embrace, you know, I'll never see your face. These are constructive outlets to help you let go. So every time something happens, that's what I'm saying to you, because you're like looking for ways to detach yourself from the situation, to realize that detaching is actually working for you in a positive way, not a negative way. Because I've had this with some readers too, and just to use a nice strong word, pisses me off, that we'll have readers who will sit there and say, hey, what, you know, I feel like you guys are going to get back together. They're going to be together, but then they come back with some advice that's worldly, okay? What I mean by that is like they're giving you some psychic, they're giving you spiritual insight that this is going to come back. But then they sit there and give you worldly advice on how to obtain that, not realizing the spiritual advice is a whole lot more productive because it's going to tell you, use the information that you have, the confidence that it's going to happen, and realistically, you have nothing to do. But make sure you are being your complete whole self. Because I've had people say, well, you need to go to this person. You need to make sure they see you, interaction, blah, blah, blah. I'm sitting there going, really? I don't remember doing this stuff before I even met the person. But it happened anyway, didn't it?
Yeah.
So you see, look at the situation between you and this guy, okay? You met. How'd you meet? Did you call him 2 weeks prior? Before you met, you said, oh, there's going to be this, I'm a stranger right now, but you're going to meet me at Dairy Queen.
No, didn't happen that way.
Right. What you did was you basically put your intentions out there that I want to be in a relationship. Then you went about living your life, and the universe lined itself up. You guys crossed paths, and it happened. Why can't it not happen again? And if it doesn't happen again, why can it not happen at all in the process of being in a relationship? But you have to take yourself back to those moments. I guarantee you wasn't attached to anything. That's why it happened the way it did. So I guess you would sit here and say your job is to basically allow yourself to be who you are like you did then just by putting your intentions out there and say, okay, if he's not the one, I am ready to be in a relationship. Right now, I am ready to be in a relationship. I am so ready to I'm so ready for a relationship and to be in a relationship. I'm going to let go of this completely because I know it's going to happen. You see the confidence, that's an intention. You're not trying to make something happen. You're putting your intentions out there because you know by putting it out there, the universe gave you what you wanted before. It's like the universe gave me a fantastic relationship before, and I deserve another. And I'm ready for that one right now. If it's him, then bring it on. Even if he's just not totally right in a place, I am ready in a process of maybe I'm the one key component that actually could get him to where we're on the same page. I'm ready for that too as well. I'm a great, fantastic person, so therefore whatever I'm confronted with, I know it's going to have a positive outcome. Well, I should write this down myself. Hello. Anyway. Seriously. You should go to Kroger's or wherever you got over there. Where you at? Oh, Canada, right?
Roanoke, Virginia. We have a Kroger.
Okay, I'm losing it, man, because I've been doing too many readings. Anyway, I was telling the other person I was telling was a Gemini. They were from Canada. Sorry, Toronto. But I'm just saying, okay, so if you're in, well, you should find a Safeway, right?
We have Food Lion in Kroger.
Oh, Food Lion. But Food Lion? I saw some documentaries on that place. Woo. Anyway. No, we saw a documentary on them where they were actually pulling meat back out of the dumpster that one of the employees said was bad and threw it away. They actually took it out of the dumpster and bleached it. And then wrapped it back up, put back in there. Now, I think Food Lion's gotten a whole lot better since then, but then again, we are talking about Virginia. Anyway. Don't quote me on that. I'm just saying, we'll get back to the subject. It's the idea of getting a journal, pens, and just start journaling things, start focusing on the situation. The book is by, this book is called The Soulmate Secret, and it's by a lady named Ariel Ford. It's got some good techniques in there for clearing out the old, getting rid of everything, any kind of residuals or anything like that, in favor of focusing on getting that soulmate. It's almost like one of the things. There was another book, too. I don't have it here because I think it's in my shop. Sorry. There's another book. I can't even remember the name of it now. I'm thinking. Creative Visualization. So you actually got some great techniques in there, too, for mapping, which means mapping as you go through the process of soulmate or career, whatever it is. But there's got some. I like the book. The reason I like that book is because it's got some great affirmations in it. And some good visualizations on how to visualize letting go of people, how easy it is by certain visualizations. And with your situation, I would actually even, what came to me was, I would sit here and take some time and schedule to get a past life reading, because there's a connection here, too, that between the two of you, this has happened before in a past life.
He's been my mom, he's been my son, he's been my brother, we've been brother and sisters, mom and parents to each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who told you that? Anyway.
Astrology.
I have a tendency to go more with energy. But
There's a long ancestral history between us.
A long ancestral?
Because
the one thing that came to me, too, was like a past girlfriend that I had, too, who was actually a fiancé, was a realization that it had taken several lifetimes to end a relationship, not the ideal that we had. So the unfinished business was to end it.
Right.
And the energy to it was because people look at synchronicity in some sense of the word, which is good. You know, but I look at synchronicity, not just, but some people have a tendency to take those situations and make more out of them. Ooh, we finished each other's sentences when it was actually more of a forced situation.
Right.
That you were making, you're basically making more out of it than what it really was, okay? So what if she said and? Doesn't mean she finished your sentence. And it's just the ideal of looking at yourself of how many times you've actually sit back, and you can really figure this out by, if you're constantly rehashing something, oh, we did this and this and this and this. It's the idea of looking at the situation when you have a great, fantastic relationship, you're too busy living it to do that. Okay?
Right.
So you can find, but those relationships, it's not the ideal past relationships. Okay, that's great, you got them. It's the ideal of using those just like you would use past experiences with him now to look at the reflection and what it reflects back at you that you need to learn about yourself and letting this go and why. It's the same thing with those past lives. You can do the same thing too as well. What happened in the situations? You know, because there shouldn't have been those kind of things. There should have been a very good, positive connection on all levels, no matter what the role was being played, which means there was constant respect in those relationships too as well. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So these are all learning tools. Some people think, oh, it's just great entertainment. Oh, stop watching television. You know, I've heard this psychic clients that say, this is just for entertainment purposes only, so they won't get sued. That's what it's all about. It's not for entertainment purposes only. That's what they're saying. So they can say, well, you know, it was just a bunch of fun. You know, your foot fell off. It's not my fault. But it's the ideal of people who really do this work, take their responsibility and helping people understand these are all learning tools. They're all tools that you can do in the process of letting go. I've actually done a lot of past life readings where you can connect to certain things that they're doing in their lives this time and trace it back to a past life, and then they realize it came from a past life which doesn't exist anymore. It's easy to let go of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of things from our past life that have been coming up.
Yeah, usually when you got a lot of things coming up to the surface, it's time to start. Because that's what I was talking about the other day when the lady said, I'm not ready to face these realizations. And I'm like, what are you talking about? These are realizations. Of course you're ready to face these, or they wouldn't be happening.
Right. And I'm willing to face them, but he's not.
Well, what you need to do in the situation is just deal with who you are and what you got to do and what you got to face. Because, you know, we sit here talking connections between two people, but we don't realize, in some sense, Lord, what we do for ourselves can also be felt through that connection, which also gives them the courage to do the same. But they have to do it on their own. Realizations do not happen with us interfaces. It happens when they start thinking about that silence that we used to occupy. Then they start wondering and they start focusing. That's when they have the realizations of why that person's not there anymore because of their action. And then we have a really good positive outcome. But they don't happen. Most of them happen in the bathroom, things like that. So
yeah,
you have any more questions?
Well, I just want to say one more thing. What I've learned with people that have had past life relationships is they're confused about what role they're playing now, or there's, and he's stuck in other dimensions and everything.
He is?
Yeah.
I'm just saying you need to focus on you. And he also has to understand one thing. It's great about dimensions and all kinds of stuff. But the idea of the situation of why things are not working is because he's not living in the now.
Right.
What's happening this moment? When you guys are sitting down talking to each other, that's where he needs to be at, not focusing on conquering some other dimension.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, the situation, okay, great, fantastic. I know about him too. You know, we got that, what is that thing called, quantum jumping and stuff like that, where you could actually look at 16 or 17 dimensions at the same time, looking at one person making the same decision 16 times, and then being able to see that and making a decision which one is better for you. So some people are so caught up in the mystical stuff of saying, ooh, there's like these many dimensions out there, not realizing dimensions are created because of the decisions we make, that we've actually done that decision-making 16 times in 16 different ways. Which one are you
right.
going to go with? Okay, so you see all these things are tools to make our lives easier. Okay, they're not to get caught in the awe and go, ooh, you know. It's the idea of going, okay, this is like putting more into the decision-making. You know, when we see the cards, take more time to make a decision. It means the idea of looking at all the options to see all the outcomes and all the variables. What do you want to do? But I do know
right.
one thing. When you make a decision, you do something, everything happens for a reason. And it's going to have a good outcome depending on the intentions that was put into it. So if it's a negative intention, you're going to get a negative outcome. But that's what you were thinking about. So what's the best thing to do? Positive intentions give positive outcomes. I was just going to say, if you have one more question, then we're going to have to get on and go to other people because there are people in the queue. And I understand it's not you, it was me. But the message was that you said that people should watch when they say, what messages do you have for me? Because you just got a big one.
Well, I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And you need to call back and tell us about that. But I'd love for you to just call me up and schedule a past life reading. I don't care what your budget is, what you got to spend with, I can work with it. Because I think a past life with the way I do things, working with angels and stuff to go down specific lifetimes of certain things that you need to know about. Not the idea of what you both needed to know about, okay? It's the idea of connecting with oneself to your past lives and what you need to learn, and that's it. Hopefully he does the same thing too as well, learn, because there is a really strong possibility in the new year that there could be a reconnection here.
Right.
But I get the impression it also has to do with him. if he's going to come to that realization, realize realizations when they happen, that's when you're supposed to make the decision, not next week.
Right.
Either way it goes, please give us a call back and tell us how things go, okay?
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate you calling. You have a great night, and what's that one word? Happy holidays? Merry Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Happy holidays.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to our next caller. This is a Skype call, I think.
Hi.
Mona. Mona. Boom. Boom.
Yeah,
okay,
that's close. Hi, this is Anna. Hello.
Anna?
Yes, Anna.
Okay, Anna.
Good evening, and thank you for your show and your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
Where
you.
Are you calling from?
NYC.
NYC. Oh, New York, right?
Yes, you figured it out. 10 points.
I was like, oh, that was a hard one.
10 points to you. That was very hard. But you got it.
Yeah, it drives me crazy sometimes because it's so simple because we're just looking for a complex answer.
It's
not
a psychic question. It's not a psychic answer.
Okay, there you go. I was like in psychic mode.
Anyway, I just ordered that book, Superhuman. I thought that was a great book. And great answer. Sometimes I share things and then I don't know if that was okay or if not. Maybe I can understand, have a better understanding of that.
Right.
Question is, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Well, do you see me meeting with John? Like, we were supposed to meet today, but he canceled because it was a very intense week and we had something happen between us. And then I guess he felt uncomfortable, so he canceled. And I was wondering what's going to happen next. I did send him a letter, just very brief. What do you see? Do you see him? Do you see us meeting? Is it going to happen or... Kind of having that.
Yeah. No, the impression I get is yes.
Okay.
It's like a situation for positive change, and it also indicates a situation that suddenly moves forward. But it does focus on the intentions being on your side.
Yeah, it was very, very bad. Some stuff came up for me. Some trauma, and that made me act out. And then I thought to myself, if a friend would have said this, it would have been no issue. So what is the issue? Mm-hmm. So he's been very helpful to understanding myself, but, you know, it hasn't helped me meet him because he didn't feel comfortable or safe.
Yeah. What I would do in a situation like that is the idea of not really focusing on him or anything like that, but I would use affirmations of seeing him in the positive mindset that you would like.
Yeah. Well,
but I mean,
you know what? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen the day after or how I'm going to feel, but right now, I feel I took care of myself. I feel I worked on myself. I feel exciting about myself. Even if this guy wasn't going to work, it will be someone else who maybe I can do something else, not act out from my trauma and my wounding, but just not, you know what I mean? Like I just have to move through this phase because intimacy is something that I've never really had, and I just haven't been able to manifest it because of my fears that I was getting, that I just scared men off. You know, I knew it's like It's like I pressed a button and there was panic, and that scared me. Like, I knew exactly what to say to back them the F off, you know? And they didn't even do anything wrong. I just didn't know how to, really handle the situation with myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just, I'm just wondering if he'll be interested in, you know, getting together and giving it another shot, and just, you know, I'm really thankful for him that he helped me already.
I get the impression he will, because I keep getting yeses every time you ask the question.
Okay. That's interesting, because the other night I did my tarot card, and you know what came out? The tower, like, from his side, that the tower, like, everything changed, and it did. The whole thing was very positive in the beginning, and then it's like, you know how many men are afraid of crazy, weird women? Like, every time I go on, it's like, oh, please don't be scared. Please don't be, like, weirdo, okay? And there's so many women with issues and so many men that are afraid of these women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm like, I'm really not crazy, but I have a huge wound. And if you can see past through that, you can survive really well with me. But you need to be a strong man to see, or I need to be a strong woman to be able to handle myself better, so that I don't procrastinate my possibilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So hope that was helpful. Can you pull a card for us, like what you see happening, or what is, when you contact me, or?
Let's see. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Hold up. Let's see. A lot of guys who are scared of crazy women.
What?
No, I was sitting there looking at the situation. You're talking about guys who are scared of crazy women.
Yeah. Seriously, a lot of men are, like, saying things like that, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, my God, I feel bad. I'm really, you know, I feel bad for these men, because women are complicated, you know. Men are, too, but women have their own fears come up, you know, in relationships.
Like I said before, when it comes to relationships, that is an opportunity that you've manifested yourself to confront those fears as well.
Yes, but it's not like Mars and Venus, like a guy needs to, it's not about the guy only, it's also about the girl. It's not like a woman needs to back off, men need to cave in. It's not as simple as that.
I still feel like the ideal is, our perceptions have a tendency to complicate things when we should. Because we sit here talking about this the other day, and it pisses me off because we have a guy who's sitting there saying, you know, he won't communicate with his girlfriend because a book told him men don't communicate. So he uses that as a mask,
yes,
not communicate.
And why? Because he needs to be a man, and what does a man? That's being a man. So he thinks he's doing the right thing, and he's not opening his heart. And a man is, open your heart and be a man and stand for it. A man is not be afraid and go in the corner and wait until the fear goes away. A man is, open up your heart. You're not a man by standing in your fear. You can, but then you have to say, look, I'm afraid. This man is not a man. He's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand. you know, we got to move out of the comfort levels, and it takes one step at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. It took me many, many years to understand what I was doing, and I still have to understand what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, it unravels itself.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen when we want it, though. It doesn't happen. It's like, oh, you can do all the work you did, but then it comes back because there's still more there.
Well, yeah. I've been saying this quite a bit, where I look at people and say, you know something, you're thinking, in some sense of the word, with these courses and these classes and stuff like that, that spirituality is like a six-month course, when it's not.
Yeah, like...
It's a lifetime commitment. Changes are happening constantly. Life is progression. But also, the situation, I keep getting the idea, see, the one thing, I don't want to sit here and put things, give her the titles, okay? Men do this, women do that. Forget that bullshit. Okay? You don't care about that. That doesn't really matter. You don't care what other couples are doing out there. What you want to do is understand the guy that you're with, and he wants to understand the woman he's with. That's it.
You don't have to understand the man. You don't even have to understand the man, because he's reacting towards you. Whatever you do, he's reacting to that, and you're reacting to him. So it's like you have to understand who you are, what are you doing, and where are you coming from. And
right.
What?
Yeah, because that's the thing. Because the women that I've been talking to think if they can understand the man and why he does what he does, they can understand the situation. They don't realize it's just a reflection back at them about themselves. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's their behavior the men are responding to. And you got to understand why you're behaving that way and not to repeat that behavior, because that behavior is a pattern that's been acting out for a while, and it needs to be cleansed out. Otherwise, you're never going to be with a partner. Like, intimate relationships.
It's all about you. Yeah, that's one of those things where they take away, you know, they're talking about you can't be selfish, but some people are getting it wrong, and the process of focusing on oneself is not being selfish, you know?
No, it's not, because it's not. You have to, clear away everything.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, what do you see now for this relationship? Like, anything that I don't know or need to know?
No, I don't. I get the impression it's one of those situations where I would look at the card where it says, seeds well planted. Now it's just the idea of having patience and letting things play out.
Okay, got it. I feel that, yes, the whole day I planted seeds and I moved through. I was so sad when he wrote me that he wasn't going to, didn't feel like it was, I was so sad. Then I moved out, you know, movement.
Yeah, a great card for you
is
balance. I have an Angel Tarot, and the Angel Tarot deck is actually the card 14, and in this one they put it down as balance. There's also Archangel Zachariel. If you don't know anything about Archangel Zachariel, I do. So hold on. So I was like looking at the card, looking at 14. There we go. 14 is balance. Now the complete definition of this card in the book basically says the angels are cautioning you against making impulsive decisions or moves right now. Instead, take the path of moderation and balance in this situation. You'll experience better results by reevaluating your current circumstances and changing your approach, which means, like, you know, the idea of focusing on you. And then it says if you acted impulsively in the past, you can heal and rectify things.
Oh.
Just approach different perception.
Okay, got it. Wow, well, let's see. I will definitely keep you posted. Last time I spoke with you about this situation, you know, nothing was wrong, and it's really our behavior changes everything, you know.
That's true. I'm just saying, right now, it's the ideal.
It worked out really
well. Waiting for the perfect time.
Everything worked out really well, because if I hadn't known about this, if this hadn't happened, then I wouldn't have gotten another piece of information about what my wound was about, you know. Now I can do better. You know?
Right. I was going to give a deep brief here, because it says Archangel Zachariel helps you remember who you are in terms of your true spiritual heritage as a child of God. Call from Zachariel to increase your self-esteem and feelings of self-worth and deservingness.
Yeah.
It says deservedness. Means you deserve. It is your it's your divine inheritance. You deserve everything that you've gotten that's ever come to you. Because if you didn't, it would have never came to you. And some people look at the situations of people and money and all kind of good stuff. You know, those situations, that's what I'm saying. We have a tendency to, in this world right now, to know everything and thinking, well, knowledge is power, but not realizing when it comes to manifestation and the process of relationships and what we want, knowing everything in the middle can actually work against that outcome to the point where it might not even happen. So therefore, we sit there and put our intentions out and say, hello, this is what I want, universe. Let God be God and the universe do what they do because they did it before. And then just sit there and look at the ideal. Make sure, and I always caution on this one, to make sure you know what that outcome is. Because the outcome, realistically, if it's a relationship, it's not the ideal of getting together. It's the ideal of sharing your lives and seeing those visualizations playing themselves out. Probably give you the best results.
Yeah, so it's just getting...
I'm just saying, you can sit there and focus on initial meetings, but I'm just saying that's just part of the visualization. What is going to be the outcome of that meeting, connection, of sitting down and actually having a great conversation, and the ideal of focusing on the visualization of actually seeing it play out, even the direction, even the words you're saying and the visualization that will give you the best outcome of the situation. Because a lot of us do this when we do have those encounters where we wish we would have said something different. Well, here's a good chance of actually going over in your head before it even happens to actually say the right words, to do the right thing. So therefore, when it does happen, which it will, then you'll be prepared that you will know exactly what to say, when to say it, and then the conversation will probably go in the direction you want it to go into. That's not control at all.
I really feel, no, that's not. That's just being positive and the light. But I really feel that this is definitely some deeper connection. This conversation has really gone so deep already into healing. It just is not just a casual meeting, you know. Because there are a lot of casual encounters that I didn't go for, but this is like not casual to me at all. It has so much more depth. So it was very valuable to me. You know, I feel like, whoa, there's a connection here that, you know, I'm not saying that he's my life partner at all. I'm just saying, like, there's a profound something there, you know, spirit, someone guiding me. And, that's all. I think it's wonderful, you know. I mean, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, just the idea of stop thinking.
Yep.
Put your intentions out. Forget the whole thing and then live your life. It's like trying to help people understand. The more you really just live your life, the opportunities to cross paths will more likely happen quicker because you're not thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it just falls into place.
Yep. And all the pieces start falling. Yeah, all the pieces. I mean, we all need each piece of the puzzle. We all need it. You know, it's not... We just have to... This is just a journey. We got to do it. You know, we're here. We're on the journey right now. As we're talking, it's not fake. It's a real journey, and we're all walking it. No one's less than another. Everyone's walking the journey. Some are 4 steps ahead. Others are 4 steps behind. Some are 10 steps behind. But we're all walking the same journey home. And so there's no less than or what a waste of time someone is, you know. Some people just don't get there, you know. I don't know. Some people's lives are wasted because they are just depending on other people to take care of them. I don't know.
Right. I'm just saying with the situation the way it plays itself out, most manifestations we're not aware of until after we're living them.
Yeah. Unconsciously we manifest stuff. I mean, it's all unconscious. That's the sad part. It's got to come to the conscious. And we're all in the same thing. The power of the unconscious is more powerful than our intelligence and the mind. You know, it's so powerful that it tricks in a mean way, but it just is what it is. It's
Right.
It's nothing that we can just solve with the mind, for sure. It's because it's happening to us, whether we know it or we don't know it. And I think that's powerful stuff, right, as we are. We are powerful. And and we don't even know that. How, you know, we just don't. I just find it, I hope, like, I can manifest something. But, you know, I don't. My interest at this moment is not when I go in meditation that I get connected to other realms. You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. What means something to me is to create something in this world. I don't need airy-fairy stuff. You know, I need real tools that I can use to make my life here better. You know,
right.
It's great that there are other dimensions and that we can do that and this, but I really, what is that going to help me? Is that going to help me find a job? No, it's not. I don't need to know things like that too much. Maybe if I have a job and I have time, I like to know which spirit guides, you know, blah, blah, blah. I need a real tools for this world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're multidimensional beings. I don't care, you know. It's like I got to stop doing that and start living this life here.
Mm-hmm.
It did me any good to find out what above and the underworld were, for me at least. If I go to a healer, yeah, he might use it in a different way. But to
That's
me,
true.
It's like I need a reality. I need real things in my life. So with that said, my friend, I think you could take on the next caller.
Okay. Are you going to stick around or what?
Yeah, I'm going to stick around. I want to walk my dog, hang out. I always like your show. It feels very comfortable.
So can we put you back on hold or just leave you where you are?
Yeah, put me back on hold. Don't hang up. That wouldn't be needed.
Okay, I'll put you back on hold. No problem.
All right,
thank
take good care. God bless you. Bye.
Bye.
Talk to you later, yeah.
Bye-bye. What was it? Happy holidays.
Thank you, dear.
All right, just going to our next caller. That's area code 814. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, Donnie. It's Terry Brightfoot. I haven't talked to you for a long time. You don't even remember me.
Okay, say it again.
It's Terry from Pennsylvania,
okay.
Brightfoot.
It's Terry. You say Terry, right?
Yeah. Brightfoot?
No.
You don't remember me.
No, I do. I remember about talking about Brightfoot, and I was like, okay, what does that mean?
That was my name on Blog Talk.
Mm-hmm. It was also your name on Skype, too, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I was going through a lot of things with April, so there was a lot of things I wiped out of my freaking... It was just one of those things. There were certain things, and it just wasn't connecting with a lot of people, so I was just kind of cleaning things out for a minute. And my thing is, when people are meant to connect, they will.
Yeah.
It's one of the hardest things to do, to teach people in the situation of allowance and what it will bring to you and what it won't keep away, you know? Because here we are talking in the process of me making a decision that most people would take offensively and say, well, you basically took me out of your contact list on freaking Skype, or you did the same thing on Facebook and all this other stuff, not realizing
you know
these things don't mean nothing.
I delete people by accident because I think, you know, it's okay. Don't call back.
I'm just saying, I've done that so many times, and after I do that, I always connect with those people again. So it's just the idea, maybe it's some way of proving to ourselves that we need to do the same thing.
We need to speak to each other from time to time.
And we also need to cut, and we need to, it's the idea of detaching. It's like we have a tendency to get attached to even friends and people and stuff, and say, okay, the idea of people who get angry and say, okay, this person doesn't talk to me. Okay, maybe there's nothing to talk about. Doesn't mean there's any kind of, you know, any kind of anything. There's no way, anything. Because I was there talking about a relationship of with a person who had said some things and stuff, but realistically, the conclusion was this person wasn't ready for what I had to give.
No.
Does that make me less of a person? No. Do I want to talk
no.
to that person? I want to talk to this person all the time, but I also feel like, because I was talking to a friend of mine, she said, well, you need to go down and you need to talk to this person or just interact with her. Don't push anything. And I was like, well, what's the point of interacting, okay? Let's, mm-hmm. let's look at the situation in a constructive way. Okay, the person, when I was interacting with them, decided to deny it. So
mm-hmm.
if I'm going to keep myself in the equation, since they're already denying me in the first place, wouldn't me being in their faces continue that denying going on?
Yeah.
So the realization we're looking for is to actually have a, not just, I was talking to people about manifestation. We're sitting here looking at manifesting a situation of an encounter between the two of us, which I felt would be something that would be more on the level of, since I was being honest and truthful and put myself out there, and this person basically denied it. In that situation, who has to correct that balance? Not me.
No, no.
I'm not the one
no.
denying anything. It's the
that's
person
right.
that's denying it who took a step
is
back. So they need to, like I was talking to a friend of mine, we were sitting talking about the bridge, okay? You are on one bank and she's on the other bank. What your job is to build a foundation for your relationship, which in the process of doing that will also not just bring two people together, but it also fills a space
mm-hmm.
that can't be filled with anything else but what you created. Now,
yeah.
if you build the bridge and you're in the middle of the bridge waiting for the other person to get to the bridge, what can you do? You can't do nothing until they build the other side of the bridge.
That's right. You can't make them do anything
yeah.
until they're ready. And you shouldn't waste your time worrying, you know, anything like that. Because
I always tell people what you do. You get you a journal, and in the morning, okay, if you want to write intentions or just write something in your journal by saying, okay, this is the person you want to be with, okay? But that's the only time you should do it. Write that 5 minutes. You write it down in your journal. And I always put it in such ways like this, going, thank you, God and angels, for this, okay, like it already happened. And then,
mm-hmm.
But then for the rest of the day, I think you should live. As simple
yeah.
as that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you should do readings, okay? I'm doing readings for people, and all I keep hearing is what is this person thinking? Is he still with his girlfriend? Is he still, is she, well, yeah, we actually have to hear that one too. Is he still with his boyfriend? All these things. But if you notice where their attention is not at, is on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're all figuring, because I've heard this before too. Actually,
yeah.
someone actually said this to me. If I know the insights, then I know what to do. I said, you already got it. The person says, yeah.
It's there. Sometimes they don't realize it, and I just, you know, I keep waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know something's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of friends that are psychics, you know, which they don't read me because they're friends. They make me read myself, you know. Not that you're not a friend.
Uh-huh.
That don't even take that the wrong way, please.
But, not too late. I'm just kidding.
I didn't mean it that way. I mean, we talk daily, and they're psychics, and, I mean, the most
mm-hmm.
they do is yell at me. But I did ask, you know, do you see me moving? Am I eventually going to move? I want to move.
Mm-hmm.
And you know I want to move.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told twice, Arizona.
Hmm.
But you got to have a job to go to Arizona. I still don't have a job.
That's true, too, but you can still manifest it, right?
Yeah.
Because I was sitting talking to somebody the other day about starting a business. Well, I can't do it right now because I got the money. I didn't say you had to have any money. She goes, really? I said, yeah, there's so many opportunities and so many solutions if you actually allow them to happen that you can actually have the things you want. I was talking to a friend the other day. She's like, well, I want to advertise my healing business. I've got things situated, but how do I do that because I really have no budget? And I said, then get yourself a website. She goes, well, those things are expensive. I said, no, they're not. There's actually a nice one out there, Yola site. Okay, most
it?
People look at the situation of being free, but I had Yola site for, and it's connected to the show. It's how people make payment. okay? And what they do is I went and made a website. I was very constructive about the whole thing. Sure, I only had so much things to work with, but the point was taking the solution and making it work for you, that I actually had the website for about a year. I made enough money where I could upgrade to, I think it was a silver Yola site, where you actually have all this stuff to your, you can use and that kind of stuff. And even when I was ready to even upgrade, I got it at the right time where they actually had a discount where it only cost me $79 for a year.
Wow.
You know? And then it's like looking at people insecurity. I had a friend of mine, I had a girlfriend named April, mm-hmm. who I was sitting there talking to about, and I told her about Yola site and do the whole thing. Well, somebody told her that she should go to this other site and pay $25.
Oh.
Okay? When you look at people and how insecure they are and the point where they want to fail. People want to fail.
I don't. I really don't.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying with her, it was like, you know, it's like getting to a successful point where you have everything in place. All you have to do is do it.
Yeah.
And when then you see a person who regresses backwards, starts doing things where she feels like, you know, people, my personal opinion was, she was hanging out with people who we call remote viewers and I call them assholes. Anyway, and I hate to say it that way, but every person I ever met who does, especially as I'm a professional certified remote viewer, all they do is talk about remote viewing disaster. And I'm starting to think, in the process of manifestation, are they really remote viewing these disasters? Are they really creating them? Because most of these people I've met really have a really bad attitude. Because I've sat there, what was it, April was looking at me one day, and she goes, can you remote view? I remote viewed with something really steep. And then I saw her remote view. And when you do the professional thing, as they say it is, there's mm-hmm. so much, it's just too structured. You have to do certain things. You have to do this, 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 this. Now, when we do psychic readings,
uh-huh.
that's what I try to tell her. I said, this is what I do. I remote view. I just zone in on somebody.
Yeah.
I've actually done remote viewing palm readings. A lady called me up on the show one night.
You told me you would do mine one time, and I never sent you my palm.
Yeah, because this person came on the show, and she said, can you remote view palm reading? I said, I don't know, but let's give it a shot. And
yeah.
I actually read her palm. I read her palm just like that.
Yeah.
Nonchalant, I did the whole thing. I've done it a couple of times. I was working on a random, and this
uh-huh.
lady was in the chat room, and she was like, can you see me? And I said, that's kind of funny. Yes, I can. I described her. I described what she was wearing, her hair, her eyes, even down to her long toes.
Oh, wow.
And she was like,
cool.
Yeah, she was like, you have these long toes that look like fingers. And she's like, that's so funny because I don't talk about that because I do, you know. But it was
yeah.
like, but when I saw her remote viewing, it's more of a control issue because she has to write down on a piece of paper. Now, remote viewers, if you know anything about professional remote viewers and all that kind of stuff that I experienced mm-hmm. through her, they don't really zone in on anything. And if you ever talk to these dumbasses, I hate to say it that way, but they just really appall me because they brag about nothing. They have never found a person. They've never found a missing person. They've never done really anything except tell you about disasters that they've actually remote viewed after the fact. Okay? They
mm-hmm.
go around, they use it. The reason I don't like it, too, because they have a tendency to really use it for personal gain, winning the lottery and all that kind of stuff, or remote viewing certain things, that kind of stuff. You know, and there's been a couple of people who won the lottery 3 times and all kinds of good stuff. Supposedly, I don't see any evidence of this, and I've never seen these people on the news. And I was here telling my friend, well, I was talking to April, and I said, you know, this guy you keep talking about, I didn't know who he was until you told me who he was. So if he's famous, now my word of famous means even people that are not even in that field would know who you are.
Yeah, no,
I've never heard of any of these people. I never heard of none of them until April brought it to my attention and said, this is what these people do. And then she started doing things to the point where it was like, what is it, the confused woman? So, you know, changing mm-hmm. names. We were Sarah talking about the other night, too. I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, how would you look at a person if you helped this person become a professional psychic, working on three psychic lines, having her own website and the whole bit, and seeing this person go back to working as a waitress in a freaking restaurant.
Oh, man.
What would you see?
And do you know what I would give for somebody to work with me? I mean, Because I know I can do it, but I don't know how to control it.
Probably 1995. No, but anyway. No, I've been talking to a lot of people in the process of working together. I don't know if you know this, but I just got me a shop in Manitou Springs. And I got it, so we do readings live at the shop, and we do them all, every day. So when it's cold, I'm trying to correct the heat thing. But
where are you at?
Colorado. Yeah, I was in Colorado, a place called Manitou Springs.
Uh-huh.
Right now, my name is actually Psychic X Journeyman, is registered with the state. So it's my name.
That is your name.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to you.
Yeah, I was telling people, I'm bragging about the shop because the shop, when I went down March, I came back here because I had the shop back in 2006. I came here back in March and I wanted to sit there and get that shop back. Well, they informed me that the city doesn't recognize it as a retail space, okay? And I said, okay, so you never get that space again. Oh, really?
Tell me again.
Yes, and I was sitting there going, so we were talking about a lot of stuff, and I remember when I was up there, I said, it's kind of funny that when I got this shop, the only thing I really said was, that's my shop, I want that shop.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a couple times, maybe every once in a while I was up there, I would see it, like, kind of nonchalant, casually, boom. But it was never, like, affirmations and all kinds of stuff to make this happen. It was when I detached and forgot all about it is when the opportunity presented itself to get it. Yeah, because I was up there, I was 1 week, and I was up there, decided to go up there and just go. So I went up there, and all of a sudden I look over across the street, there's a for rent sign on this place. So an impossibility became a reality.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, and I was sitting talking to a friend of mine. I said, there was also a particular woman I met in the same month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, some people look at it as an impossibility, but could it also be in the process, like I've always said before, in the process of being in your life purpose, you will find your life partner.
Yeah, I don't think
And I was sitting there going, okay, we got the shop. Yeah, but I was sort of saying, I've always felt like I was always going to marry somebody here in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
In the place I live now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even the first time I was here, I didn't really want to leave.
Yeah, I know.
But someone talked me out of leaving. Talked me into leaving here, so I left. And realistically, I left because I thought it'd be an opportunity, which didn't pan out. But there was still some kind of inkling I said, no, I should have listened to. But it was kind of funny coming back here and seeing that impossibility, that I look at this other person as also, you know, another impossibility that turns into a reality. It's like looking at a situation going, okay, I can see this person in my life as my wife. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when. I wish I did. But it was one of those situations I know it's going to happen between us. You know, the ideal of that relationship. It's just the ideal of having, because I was here talking to a friend of mine, I said, look at the situation in your life. There's always this one side where we feel very confident that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt this is going to happen, that me and this person are going to have a happy, romantic, deep-loving, committed relationship, and we're going to be living a happy, fulfilling marriage, family, and life together. And I just feel like it's like right around the corner. I mean, it's like right there. I mean, sometimes with timing, you feel like it's like overlapping now and becoming a possibility, that they're so freaking close that you just don't know when it's going to happen, but you just know it is, okay? So it's like teaching people how to embrace that confidence and realizing on the other side, when you start getting those knots in your stomach, what you're actually feeding into is your fears. But the more you focus on the confident part, the more you can counteract the fears, because what you're saying is, I see you, you know, basically I honor you. I did think those things. Those are my fears, but I'm letting you go in favor of focusing on embracing the confident part that I know beyond a shadow of doubt this is going to happen, that me and this woman, I'm trying to sit here and go, you know, like sometimes we like to just, in any kind of situation, you like to throw your intentions out there. Like the other day, my daughter was talking to me on the phone, and some people have a different kind of perception on the whole thing, how I do things, okay? She asked me, do you have a girlfriend? And I said, yes. She goes, really? Thank God she didn't get into the details. She usually does. But it was just the ideal of putting it out to the universe. I feel that confident that me and this particular woman, that's what it's going to be. I even made a rhyme that I want this woman in my life to be my wife. And it's like when you start focusing on getting things to flow that way, and the things you say, you know, verbally, that it can actually, it's just working for the energy. You know, always keeping yourself in a certain way of keeping it up. That's why, and I think we should keep affirmations and stuff in that context too, because I was sitting there talking to people about The Secret, and I'm getting sick of people saying, well, I got the other side of The Secret. Yeah, you want to sell books, my friend. Okay? Because if you really watch The Secret, really watch The Secret, you will find everything you need. Because it's really like the Hickses. Okay? If you look at that section, what they put it out there very clearly. Intentions, ask. The universe, none of your business. Focus on the outcome. What is the outcome for you? And I saw this one. It's the guy who's sitting there talking to his eight-year-old boy, and he's got these boxes with these focus boards in it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if you watch that freaking scene, you'll notice one thing, that those focus boards were actually packed in a box. Okay? So he wasn't looking at it every day, but yeah. he called his intention board. So he put his intentions on that board. Mm-hmm. So the universe knew. His intentions were strong. He even had a picture of the house he wanted. Boom, right there. And then 5 years later, when he's unpacking the boxes to show his kid what they are, he realizes he's living in that house. Okay? So became a reality. But it wasn't something as, because I was guilty of this too, taking a focus board to the point where it wasn't focus anymore. It was more obsession. Of trying to not let those things become obsessed, like affirmations. Affirmations mm-hmm. is the ideal, realistically, when you use them right, is a good form of detachment, because you sit there and you say your affirmations, and you're not trying to make something happen. What you're doing is those affirmations are supposed to reinforce what you already know is of certainty, to remind yourself, to keep your subconscious mind on that positive level. But if you start, some people just have a tendency to get obsessive. I got affirmations on my walls, but they're there to remind me, to keep that focus. Like if I'm working on a random or working something like that, and I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm not getting any readings, I will look at up at my affirmations where it says, I now have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a money magnet. They're just reminders. You don't ever see me, because if I sit there constantly and was obsessing over the whole thing, the idea of trying to create these opportunities to have this kind of income, okay. I wouldn't be able to sit there and accept them, because I'd be too busy reading the affirmations.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
you're telling me, I'm obsessing over a job.
Yeah, but I'm also telling you, too, if you want to sit down and work on this whole thing as some kind of mentor, because, you know, the one thing I've also noticed out there, too, right now, they're pushing the idea of mentors and life coaches. I will work with you in the process of manifestation. Well, a friend of mine the other day reminded me, because I was actually contacting one of these companies, about getting a coach for myself. And she said, why are you doing that for? Maybe what you're seeing here is another avenue for you to take too as well, of helping people who can't afford $500.
To pay for it.
I was like, there was a couple, I'm not going to mention none of them,
mm-hmm.
Jack Canfield. Anyway, but $1,500 to start working with somebody saying, okay, dude, if I had $1,500, I wouldn't need you.
Yeah.
Okay. But my friend was like, she goes, you're an excellent coach. Why don't you start doing that yourself? And look at the situation of real honestly, because a lot of people say, we'll work with your budget as long as you're a millionaire.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Well, I guess I should work on that affirmation stuff going on really strong and get back with you. And then you start realizing, well, if that's the case, if I can do it on my own, what do I need this guy for? It's more the ideal. And I understand what they're saying. It is a concept, and I also know how to do that concept thing of changing your perception, but not really changing it, but looking at yourself and saying, okay, don't. You know, it's like looking at a situation and go, okay, you're thinking in a different way. What I want you to do is look at the idea of being more successful, realize what you're doing is not, because it keeps creating the same thing. So So I was going to go, because I've checked a couple of them out, and it was kind of crazy. The one was starting out at $1,500.
Wow.
The other one was, I thought it was lower until I checked with it again, and then it was a starting fee of $500 right at the front.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, is there a solution to getting with people? And I've also, we have the situation where sometimes you understand why people have a tendency to charge so much in some situation, but I think they should also work on their patience. That there are certain people you work with who get into the situation, but realistically, they're not really ready. So what these companies are doing, saying if someone's willing to pay that kind of money, then they're ready. When I've actually met people who don't have that kind of money who are ready, who just can't do it because
they don't have
the money.
Yeah.
So maybe we should help them manifest the money so they can work for the bigger companies, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying, it's one of those situations. I had a lady the other day, last weekend, I actually gave her 5 sessions to help her because she was in desperate need. And, we always look at people and say, well, contact me when it's really crucial or where it's like, not really crucial, where it's convenient for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard from that lady yet. And the situation I was picking up on with her, I told her, time is essential that you, get this done as quick as possible and start this out. And what was so bad about it was, or what good about it, I don't know which way you want to look at it, but it seems like since I offered her, because I told her, I said, you won, because we give these away from time to time, that you won this section,
And I missed it.
But it's amazing with people, if you don't charge them, they don't take it seriously because they don't see the worth. There's ways of doing it. You sit there and tell a person, okay, this is a value of, it was like 5 sessions. It used to go for $100.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah, I was telling her, it's 5 sessions at 25 minutes. On average right now, it would be like $1 a minute.
Yeah.
So I was like, you emphasize with the people and say, okay. Because I've been told a lot of things, too, when you sit there and a lady was sitting there talking about getting a relationship. I want a relationship.
I want one, too.
It's okay. I'm just saying, I told her, so what you need to do is you need to focus. You need to work on those chakras, especially your sacral chakra and the ideal balancing it out between appetites and desires. What is your true, what I mean by balance and getting that chakra clear is to realize that some people have a tendency to manifest things because of what the world tells them they want, need, desire, not really focusing on what they really want, need, desire. So they have a hard time manifesting those things, not realizing that's not their true intent.
Yeah.
It's what the world says. The world says, my mom did this, and it was just ridiculous to sit there and look at me and say, maybe your daughter would respect you more if you bought a car. Okay, respect.
Respect
if
you bought a car?
Yes.
Okay.
And I said, maybe I should just get a different family who wants to talk about the Bible, but also wants to focus on materialistic bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
To realizing back in the day, life still revolved, things still got done, and we didn't have cars. We had transportation of all kinds. And just all kinds of situations that were going on. There's solution. But, there for a while, I was traveling so much, it was not really feasible to have a car. It's best.
Yeah.
I mean, I like flying, to tell you the truth. I like taking cabs. I like doing certain things. People say, well, that's kind of expensive. If you have this affirmation that I have, my income far exceeds my wants, needs, and desires. Those are my wants, needs, and desires. I don't want to, lately I've been riding the bus. And I do walk a lot because I feel like when you walk and you slow the pace down, you start seeing things that you were missing before, which have a lot to do with contributing to you. Because anything and everyone that crosses your path, those are all happening for a reason, to learn more about you, your past, everything.
Yeah,
and if you're on a freaking bus, or in a car, and one thing about a car is so hard is you're driving. So therefore, your focus is pretty much focused on going forward, because if you focus anywhere else, you're going to crash. So therefore, you really don't get a chance to take in whatever's around you. But if you take a time Because my brother's like this. He won't walk to the freaking, he won't even walk to the freaking mailbox. He drives 10 feet to the mailbox.
To the mailbox?
And then drives back to the door.
To the mailbox?
And he waves it up. Huh?
To the mailbox he walks?
He won't walk to the mailbox. He won't walk
or
anywhere.
Or he drives to the mailbox?
He drives.
Well, that's not even worth the gas to drive to the mailbox. Well, my mailbox anyway.
Well, these are the people I've seen before, too, that bitch about they don't have gas. And then you sit here, then you try to tell them that, you know, maybe if you stop doing this and you stop doing that. It's like we sit here and do life coaching, okay? It's like helping people understand that the reason that we have all these people working all these god-awful hours is because people are focusing on fear. They need to check their emails. They need to check their phones every freaking 5 minutes. They need to text somebody. Don't you realize that all that time that you put into those things, you could be doing something totally different, more constructive in the idea of your life purpose. I've seen people walking down the street where, you know, how many times have you run into a freaking post because you're texting somebody? My daughter freaks me out because texting and driving. But if you look at our society, the reason I say society is feeding into fear, because if you take these things away from people, they freak.
Yeah.
Not realizing that if you did a tarot card reading the other day and it says you have an addiction problem, it might be your phone.
You know, I've been trying to give up myself, and I didn't have it on for 2 days. And the funny thing is I put it in to charge it, and I went over and I thought, well, I'll look at it, see if I have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I had a voicemail. Somebody called me from a temp agency for a temporary position.
Uh-huh.
And I called her back, and I said, please don't use my cell, because I am trying to live without it, because when my contract's up, it's done. Because I don't have a job. The phone's in my name, and he is paying
kind of
it right now. Pardon me?
What kind of phone do you have?
I'm a spoiled brat.
This would be a perfect opportunity for me. I can sit there and go, get Straight Talk, www.straighttalk.com. Check them out. You can knock your phone bill down to $45 a month for everything, texting, minutes, and Internet. So check them out, or go to your local Walmart. I should do freaking radio real, you know.
I'll have to look into it, but like I said, and where we live,
I got an Android phone.
Yeah, that's what mine is.
I got
not
an
sure
Android
I like
phone. I had to pay $129 for this phone, but right now, if you go on the website, www.straighttalk.com, they actually have some specials on the same phone that I got, where you can get it for $69, and then you pay $45 for a month. They actually have things, too, with this where you can actually pay, which you don't see a lot of companies doing this, where I could actually get a card for 3 months. And my phone will be up for 3 months. They actually have a thing now with international calling too.
Okay.
I'm just saying, check it out. If you want to check it out, that's fine.
I'll check it out. Like I said, he's already told me he's done paying it when the contract's up in January.
When you look at the situation going, I always look at situations like this to find a solution to stand on one's feet, because I guarantee you, the more you stay on your own 2 feet, the more you piss them off.
Because
they're trying to use that leverage. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and he has all control.
You take it all away. Because, I mean, I told this one lady, I said, you realize in the process of going to court all the time, trying to get child support for your kids and that kind of stuff, I understand. You're right. It's the right thing to do. But at the same time, how do you know the guy's not using it as control?
Because
as long as you keep going to court and keep doing all this stuff, he's controlling a little bit of piece of your life. Does that really sound right to you? In the process, you could spend more time with your kids. So I was told this one lady who actually found solutions to stand on her own 2 feet and told the guy, if you don't want to pay child support, who cares, man? I have better things to do than hang out in the court with you. And then she found out later on, was just he wasn't ready to let go of her, so he was using this as a connection between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as soon as that was severed, Well, he was a pissed off man, but what could he do? Because she decided to say, you know something? This is what we talk about, the idea of taking 100% accountability for your life and say, you know something? Let's find a solution. Not control and bitch about it. Because, you know, basically if you bitch about it, you're feeding into it more.
Yeah.
So it's going to continue. If anybody in the chat room has any questions, we're not going to answer them. Obviously. Sure, we'll answer for you.
Huh?
See, Mystic Butterfly. I've seen Mystic Butterfly before.
I have seen Mystic Butterfly before. Do you have me moving? Do you see if me? I'm me moving. Do you see me moving? Do you see me moving?
Do I see you moving?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Boy, if you don't move, I'll send you some money so you can get the hell out of that freaking state. Anyway.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
I'm not so happy with that, I guess, that little section of hell. Pennsylvania, Ohio. Because there's so many people who live elsewhere. They used to live in those states. So West Virginia, Kentucky, you know, all these little things. I mean, Kentucky's like a borderline back and forth if you find this situation. Tennessee, I can actually find a place to hide out, too, so it's good. Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's from Montana. Emma Rose. Oh, I think I know who that is. I think. She's laughing. Okay. Let's see. Actually, what the impression I get is I get yes.
I had a friend tell me. I'll tell you when you're done. Are you done? I don't want to interrupt you.
Am I done? Oh. Sorry, I dropped the microphone.
You threw it down on me.
I don't know. For some reason, everything seems to be more slippery to me.
My friend told me, and she was not very nice with me, and we had been friends with each other for a long time, and she had asked me to pull cards for her, and I did, and now she's, you know, went totally berserk, telling me that was evil, and I was going to hell, and she could not talk to me anymore until I gave up that and went back to the person that she always loved. And I said, I've always been this person. I've always had these visions. I am that person. But she wanted me to pull cards.
That's crazy.
And
no, we've always had that. What was that one? Somebody asked me before, don't you ever wish you were normal?
I thought you were normal.
Huh?
I thought you were normal.
That's what I told her. I said, I am normal because I use all my gifts. What's your problem? So I think you're the abnormal one.
Yeah.
But then,
I mean,
I don't know about normal and you know, perceptions, everything.
But, I mean,
you know,
it hurt my feelings because she all of a sudden went on to this rampage about religion, and I said, well, I believe that they're God-given talents.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're contradictions because they'll go out and buy those CDs, and they'll pay some really outrageous money to go see concerts and stuff to actually experience somebody else's gifts. But it's a different type of gift.
Yeah.
Singing and that stuff. But they'll pay this all this freaking money. Or how about the new cell phone things? People standing in line to get these upgrades on these freaking cell phones and stuff. Paying for someone's gift of technology of who created that.
Yeah.
And we do the same thing. We create things too. It's kind of funny how people sit there, like your friends say, they're saying that to you. They're sort of talking and saying, this is evil, da 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 da. And somebody came on the show one time, too, and said that I was evil, too, because the idea of angels and stuff that I was working with, and I'm sitting there going, I'm having a hard time with this. And they would go, why? Because of all the positive things we've done for people. Even help them reconnect with themselves in the process of reconnecting to God. And I still believe that. Love yourself, love God, love yourself.
One of the biggest things that I did was that I quit going to your show, you know, because I was having fun at the other place, but I was getting more out of your show to teach me about myself, which was, you know, I mean, the night that I had pulled cards, we were on a show, and it was three of us did them together. We are not in the same place. One would pull, the next one would pull. We already had ours laid out, you know, when it was time. We were thinking about them. The first one, of course, didn't. But by the time that got to me, I was the third one. All three persons' cards tied together.
Yeah, I remember that, too. And it's one thing I have a tough time with some people who says, I do readings, I can't remember. But I remember that day. It was a career opportunity or something. What was the name of that card? It was the idea of, it had to do with everybody making changes in their life. So the card itself was talking about, I can't remember the exact name of the card, but it was talking about life purpose. That's what the card was. It was life purpose. You know, your life purpose is making a major change in your life right now, in your career, and your love life. Mm-hmm. And everybody we pulled the card for, everybody said they were either changing careers or thinking about changing careers. So the card hit every one of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And then and I'm sitting here going, okay, I keep shuffling the cards. I think it came up like four or five times. And then because people were sitting there going, maybe you should shuffle the cards more. So the last time I shuffled the cards about 20 times, and the same card still popped up.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So because I was talking about the same thing too the other day. We're talking about the angel numbers, right? Oh, is that really working? So I would sit there and do this thing where I was like, I had the guy sitting there and I go, "Watch this. Okay, see that license plate there, 208." And it was like focusing on, I was worrying about readings and money and stuff. The freaking definition of this is like an example, but it was center saying, stop worrying about financial stuff. You're in your life purpose, so what you need to do is have faith, let go and have faith. I was like, see that? That's creepy. But that's exactly what I was thinking.
But that's, and I tried to explain to her that they were God-given gifts and that I asked Archangel Michael to protect them.
What you need to do, there's a book out there called The Angels Within Us by John Randolph Price. It actually takes the 22 angels, like the angel of love and relationships and the angel of success, and you actually see each one of these angels also is connected to the higher arcana on a tarot card deck, which are all backed by angels.
Yeah.
the lover's card is actually connected to the Gemini, but it's also connected to the angel of loving relationships.
I got a new deck, and I was real excited about my new deck that I got, and she doesn't like it because it's the witch's tarot deck.
You got a person here who doesn't like themselves.
And
it's really reflecting on everybody else.
She told me, I just shut off and quit chatting with her and turned it off and walked, you know, I was done. I don't feel I need to defend myself.
Yeah, it was last week we said one thing. If you guys want to have a great relationship, get the hell off of Facebook, okay? I'm tired of answering questions about women call me up and go, hey, this guy took our pictures from the big ones and down to the small ones. What did I do wrong? I'm like, nothing. Nothing. And you're sitting there letting Facebook dictate that you have if you have a good relationship or not, instead of sitting down and talking to the guy? Well, he doesn't like to talk. Well, it's about time he started.
If you go on my Facebook page, it has nothing to do about I have no relationship. I live nowhere.
Uh-huh. And people use it as leverage and all kinds of good stuff. I mean, I never done that before. And then I got with somebody, and then I did that, and I was just like, you know, it is a powerful thing to get caught up in the bullshit.
Well,
you're sitting there going, okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
I use it. I enter contests because I have a little bit of problem. I want to win stuff, you know. So I enter contests.
Okay.
I use it for that, and like I have an art group that I belong to,
mm-hmm.
and I use it for that. But
what kind of art?
My art is like totally different. Maybe sometime I'll send you pictures.
Okay.
You'll have to send me your email.
I do some things with chalks, or as I call them, pastels. Okay.
Pastels, yeah. I don't use those. Yeah. I have some, but I don't. And I have some chalks.
It's kind of a catchy. It's because I use chalks, okay, and
mm-hmm.
pastels. What's the difference between chalk and pastels? Is pastel is chalk, but it has a little face.
Yeah,
well, base. Your chalks are just, you know, but I like chalks and I like sketching and stuff like that because, see, I can actually interact with the painting itself, with shading
mm-hmm.
and stuff and use my hands and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Painting.
I have to draw mine out first before I paint it.
Mm-hmm. No, me too. I used to do murals and it would take me about maybe 2-3 days to actually draw it out, depending on how big the mural was.
Yeah.
I was always to draw everything out on the walls and everything else before I started painting on the whole thing.
No, I was told that I don't need to do that.
That's true too, but you got to do what you feel is good for you. One example is that was I do palm readings. Now the way I do palm readings is really I've actually spooky, scared people. But when I read the books can actually work against me. Because a lot of things in the books don't hold with an individual. They
That's
hit the masses,
right.
but not the individual. And that's what's all about.
With your feelings.
Mm-hmm. I like scaring the hell out of people. I like it when I look at a girl and I look at her hand going, 3 ex-husbands? And she's like, how do you know that? It's right there on your hand. Because I guess it was me. I went to a palm reader once, and I was so disappointed. Because she told me to hold my hands up. So I hold both hands up, and she said, well, I can see that you've been in, like, 7 relationships in the last 10 years. I'm like, that's no freak. That's no stretch. I think I've had 7 relationships in the last 6 months. Anyway, you know, but it was just certain things where I was always striving to be more accurate, to get people going, okay, that was kind of freaky. How do you know that? To sit there and tell a guy that he says you're spooky because he pulls away from the table because I was doing a palm reading for his girlfriend. He said, you're reading her like a book. Well, it's her palm, you know.
Well, that
but
is the book.
Yeah,
that
so I look at her. So I looked at him. I scared him because I said, I haven't got to you yet, buddy. And he was like, what? I said, yeah, let me see your hand. So I looked at where the thumb is, where the family line is. And I said, you see these 3 lines? This actually indicates you've lost 3 males, like a father and son, out of your family, which you can see the lines coming away from the family line, which means they left the family abruptly, but the way they were on the palm, they were also dead. He looked at me, and he's like, are you serious? I said, yeah, why? He said, because we lost because it was 3 lines indicating 3 males that were taken out of family. Very strong connections to these people. And he was like, they lost their father and 2 sons in an accident.
Wow.
So he was like, okay, tell me more. Now, I've had reverse actions, okay? I did it last week. A couple comes to my freaking shop. I do a palm reading for his girlfriend, okay? I did this. It was so funny because I do the palm reading for her, and I said, okay, you're next. He goes, nope, I'm good.
That's it. I'm done.
And I was just like, yeah, I could tell with the relationship itself because, I mean, me personally, it might sound crazy, but I take it, stand on it very firmly, that when 2 people are in an intimate relationship and want to spend the rest of their lives together, I think they should share everything because there's always those little secrets they keep to themselves that when couples, true couples with true connections, they always have that intuitional thing. So they're always going to be picking up on things that you're hiding from them. Maybe they can't pick up on what it is, but it's just the ideal of something you're not sharing with them. Because we have these things where I have a best friend I can share everything and anything with, but I don't do that with my spouse. I think that's really lopsided.
I have a big mouth.
I'm just saying with the situation, you know, this is a person you know, you don't have sex with your freaking best friend, but you have sex with your spouse, but you won't sit there and share everything with her? I don't get that. That's just a control issue. A lot of guys have that. Like, you know, I seen this with a dude, this lady was like, my husband, my boyfriend's lying to me. I know he is, because I know for a fact he went to Burger King. But he told me he went to McDonald's. Why would he do that? What's the point of lying? The point of lying is control. He knows where he was. And he likes that control. But it's also an insecurity within himself, of course. But, you know, but with her, he doesn't realize all it's doing is creating distance between her and him.
Yeah.
It's actually creating blocks. And, you know, and the situation is, there, since he doesn't trust himself, he doesn't trust her. And that's what it's really all about. Because when I have people call me up and say, well, I think my boyfriend's cheating on me, I think they should start looking at themselves.
Yeah.
Not because they're cheating, but somewhere since then they feel like they're being cheated.
There's something. No, see, I will tell you, I tell everything. I don't keep anything back.
So do I. I'm pretty open. I'm very open with people. You know, I mean. Yeah, this last person I was very, I guess, very vulnerable and very open to. I don't regret it. I would do it
you
again.
You got something out of it. You learned something.
I did learn something. I am who I am. And she couldn't. It's like sometimes we have to look at reflections like this, okay? Not a bad reflection. Reflections can be good that reflect back about us, that we know what we're doing. We look at a situation, right? The person's denying the relationship. They're denying their feelings. What does that reflect back at us about ourselves? It means we're being honest. We're being truthful. So it's a good reflection that says, okay, we're on the right path. So we do know what we want. So we cannot go down to their level because they're not willing to actually face the fears, grow up, grow us, go, you know, really, when you have situations like that, it is a spiritual and emotional growth moment that brings you to on the same level. And if you don't allow those growths to happen, you're always going to be behind. But that's your choice.
Yeah.
But that's what I was telling my friend. I said, just think about it. This person basically said we used to hug all the time. But she said we wasn't close friends because I didn't know her personal life. When I did a palm reading for her and told her I didn't want to talk about her personal life, I know about your personal life. I know about these things, but I'm not going to talk about it out of respect for you until you're ready to talk about it. You know, so to sit there and say you're not close friends is another thing of people when they start denying. They deny any kind of close interconnection with you because not wanting to admit to their feelings to the point where I've had people say this too, well, how come this person doesn't write me back or at least tell me off? Not realizing that any kind of going there is going to bring those, it's almost like it's telling you that the feelings must be stronger than you thought, that they can't even respond to an email because it brings those feelings to the surface.
Yeah.
Of course, it's like I would tell people all the time, you're going to get those emails, it's going to say, well, we're not this or that kind of stuff, which is going to hurt, but then take a step back real quick and go, okay. Because some people have a tendency to say, they feel like, okay, since they're not going to respond to me, I'm not going to respond to them. That's kind of a rebellious thing because you're ticked off. When you sit and step back and look at the situation, go, okay, maybe you should just express yourself. How do you feel? Because if you're in face-to-face and someone said that to you, you would definitely return with what you feel. I think sometimes we need to take a step back anyway, so we won't do it in a very bad way. But I did the same thing. I got an email basically said certain things that were really threw me off and that were really hurtful. Because, you know, it's like looking at someone saying, okay, we implied that I wasn't ready for a relationship, and then there's a message, there's information that says that she is, and that hurts you. And then it's like people, what drives me crazy when people emphasize. Anytime people emphasize or they keep going over something to convince me of something, that means
that's
they have this
preaching.
They're sitting there going. So I don't think it's wrong in the context of an email or a message through Facebook. If it's just two people communicating with each other, okay, you're not doing it for drama. You're doing it because it's the truth. And that's what I did with this one. I kind of wrote back and said, you know, hey, it wasn't the ideal of the news about you, because she emphasized on my new relationship. And I was like, okay, why would we, you know, you're writing back. First of all, you're in a relationship. That's what my, that was my biggest problem right there. Okay, you're in a relationship. You're a very private person, as you say. Okay? Mm-hmm. You have all this, all these boundaries supposedly in place, okay? Why are you writing to me?
Yeah.
Okay, you're in a relationship. You don't owe me anything. But for some reason, you feel like you do. Okay, so this is a contradiction, saying we're not close friends. This is what a close friend would do. I'm sorry. But then when she wrote back, she said, I'm sorry of my new relationship has hurt you. See, she's even taking herself out of the equation of doing the hurt. She's putting it on the relationship.
Yeah.
She's not putting it on herself, saying, no. So what I did was I wrote back, like I'm telling everybody else, what you should do is the truth is the truth. And what the truth is going to do, it might be a hard thing for you to do, to tell the truth. But realistically, through the whole thing, it's what you've been doing. And the other person is not. So the only way you can correct the situation on your part of the end is to keep doing what you're going to do. And hopefully that with these realizations that happen, they will correct the balance. Because I said, no, the news of your so-called relationship hasn't hurt me. You did. It was just stating a fact. Okay, and then we go to the point of saying we're not close friends, even to the point of defriending me on Facebook. And did I get mad? My friend says, you're going to block her? I'm not 10 years old.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm doing this. I'm respecting. I said, okay, the person said what she said, but I don't need to block. I don't need to do anything. I just felt like something came to me as something that needed to be said. That was the case. It wasn't something that came to me and said, okay, you need to do something. No, I remember when I got the message. The only thing I wrote back that night was, well, that's all I could think about because I was just really. Because my friend said, okay, she's in a relationship. That really hurt you? I said, yes, but when she said we wasn't close friends, that was the clincher that really put me over the edge. That I had to sit there and take at least till the next day to, you know, go, okay, I'm not going to write back to be mean. I'm writing back, and it needs to be set straight that what I've been doing and how I feel is exactly what you see. Which means you're not. So when I wrote back and said, you're a liar, but the sad thing is you're lying to yourself. And I said, the idea of being, because she said it being, she felt like being friends on Facebook had distorted things in some ways.
Oh.
You know, and I wrote, and the other thing I wrote back was, it was the idea of stating a fact and saying, no, what happened was we were friends way before Facebook. And that's what I'm saying. When you sit your hands, I'm writing these things. I could see these things. Okay? And so therefore, I was writing about interaction that happened. So it wasn't, you know, I didn't have to, let me, I go with Central and say, like her emails are like 3 to 4 days before you got a response. So someone's really thinking about those things. And some people say that's a good thing. But it was like, me personally, I've been doing relationship counseling for a long time. When people take that amount of time, they want you, they're trying to construct a message or an email that depicts what they're trying to portray, which is a mask. And that's why I wrote to you, I was like, okay, put the mask on. But I've always seen, I see you, I've always seen you. And what you're saying in that statement is you're saying, and I know they know it. I don't care what anybody says. The connection's connection. And, you know, those connections are there for all kinds of reasons, even the ideal situations like this, for people to get the realizations and understand what they're doing is denouncing something that they actually manifested. And it was the idea of what I said to her was, I see you, which means when I say I love you, it's because I know you because I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Not the math that you're presenting to me, but I actually see you. And you should have confidence in that to realize if I can see this person that you think you have to hide behind this mask and I still like that person to the point of even loving that person, it should help them realize, what are you doing? you wanted to find somebody to see you for who you was because of all the masks that you have to wear everywhere you go, to the point where you're exhausted, where you like to have one situation where you can just be who you are and be yourself.
Yeah.
Which I actually saw the situation. That's why I said what I said. And there was other things in there, too, where I was like, you know, like I said, but the relationship was, okay, your so-called relationship didn't hurt me. You did.
Yeah.
And that was the truth. It was what she had said to me in an earlier email, implying she didn't have space. She didn't have space in her life for a relationship, even to the point of telling me it wasn't a good time for her. Okay, those things imply, you know, hey, I don't have time or space for a relationship. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that baffled me the most about the situation was she never, ever said either she doesn't have feelings or she does. She's always up in the gray area. And I was like, I thought that was kind of odd because, simply, it's almost like a person who wants that interaction, wants that connection, but in some sense the word of the way they have a tendency to formulate everything, they're trying to control it.
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, I think it was one of the situations that she decided to open up to, never realizing the depth of it or what it was, you know, it became a whole lot more than she thought it was going to be, to the point where it was like, okay, this thing is like, almost like, I guess it's one of those things of saying, this is great, but at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you pull some cards for me, huh?
My God, I don't even have my cards. I haven't been pulling cards for anybody. You should add me back on Skype and then...
Mm-hmm. Say what now? What was it about Skype?
I said you should add me back on Skype, hint, hint, wink, wink.
Okay. It's no problem. It's just, I always tell people, it's like, send me an invitation.
Oh, I can never get those to work.
So what I do for Brightfoot?
Yeah. You should find me with that.
Brightfoot.
There's 1-3. And you know all your cards, right? Because I'm not real good with knowing my cards, and I can't read them like I'm supposed to without the book.
No, people freak out when I do that.
Hmm?
So, yeah, I can do that.
You know your cards, and you can read them without? You're supposed to.
I don't have a city either.
Huh?
I don't. But. All right, I know how this works, so I just sent you one.
Okay. You have a Queen of Swords upside down.
A what?
The Queen of Swords, swords upside down.
Okay. That's one thing we could do, too. I have a tarot deck here, too. So I just go, okay, let's look up Queen of Air, which is Queen of Air is the Queen of Swords, which was kind of funny that you said that because guess what?
What?
When I picked up my deck
mm-hmm.
and started to look through the cards to find the Queen of Swords, that card
right
actually
there.
Jumped out. Yeah, so then you look at a situation like that. Oh, shoot,
okay.
That's the wrong button.
Okay, the next one. Ace of Swords, upside down.
Okay, Ace of Swords, huh?
Yeah.
Because the Queen of Swords actually represents independent experience, realistic witty. Also, so it shows objective decision-making. Almost like a person who is, the swords represent the idea it's time to actually cut loose the past in favor of almost like a realistic future, something that someone sees. But it's the ideal that the realistic part of the whole thing is,
mm-hmm.
is the person is not realizing the realistic future is the one that she questions.
Mm-hmm.
The one she thinks is realistic has the tendency to be more on the line of materialistic. Like, for
mm-hmm.
example, you got a guy that you're really in love with, you really care about. You see the
okay.
situation, but you're not allowing yourself to really get to know the situation, so you have a tendency to judge it on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like an excuse, okay? And here's
mm-hmm.
another person who's probably a past relationship that you're thinking realistically about because you think it's more practical. The person has an 8 to 5 job. Is it 9 to 5 job? those kind of things. But see, if you look at the two situations of the sword is saying cut loose your old perceptions and the idea of what you've asked for. What have you, the thing you've asked for is to have true love, not true success through somebody else's input. It's the idea, because I was sitting here telling people before, the idea of the Queen of Swords can be represent so many things in a situation, but on an individual basis, that's when we really get into the nitty-gritty of exactly what it is. To understand, it's a person who needs, because they only have one sword. It's the ideal of making the decision to cut loose, because the decision's already been made. It's already a realization. It's always, it's like looking at things going, a person. That's the thing. Looking at a person and looking at that situation going, that's not realistic because emotions and feelings and, you know. But here we have another person over here who's responsible, you know. He's got the know-how and that kind of thing like that. That's materialistic. Okay? The reason we have a contradiction with the swords is because it also says clear away that no longer serves you. So see, she's still hanging on to what she thinks still serves her, not realizing in the process of the new person that's come into her life, she manifested that person because she wanted change. So when you look at the two situations, the two particular people here, right, you can see so clearly of the decision in which direction to go into because of what she's manifested and created is what she really wants. Now she's like when we look at the situation, it says objective decision making. It's the ideal realizing what contributes to you, what makes you happy. And realistically, it's not the person that makes her happy. It's the ideal the person makes her realize of the happiness and the worth within herself. The other person does nothing but do the opposite. It actually shows her the lack of worth within herself, you see? That's why the other one, which is real, emotions and love, makes her feel so insecure because of certain foundations, as in a private life. The private life does not exist. It's something that she's created because she doesn't want anything to buck, you know, to buck the system, the things she's created, that she knew that when she manifested the other one, it would. And she so you look at a situation, people go, okay, that's kind of confusing. No, it's the idea of a person who's made a decision to change their life, which means they, the two.
So they've turned everything upside down.
Yeah, so it's the idea of. They're what?
They turned their life upside down because they're changing it. Correct.
They're changing. Yeah, they're changing it. So there's a lot of realizations that are happening. That was actually You said it was the Ace of Swords,
Ace
right?
Swords,
and the Queen of Swords. And the Queen of Swords. Let me find the Queen of Swords.
Okay, you had the Queen first, and then the Ace, and they were both reversed. You have to find the Ace.
So we had the Queen of Air, the Queen of Swords. And what was the second one?
Ace of Swords. And then the last one I pulled you is a pretty good one. Eight of Coins, Pentacles.
Let me see something. Well, I got the Two of Swords. Here we go. The Ace of Swords is a representation of, okay, you said they're upside down.
Yes. Those two are upside down. That's past, present, future.
Actually, the Ace of Swords actually represents the ideal of, when it's upright, bringing ideals, bringing new ideals and inspiration, seeing the truth of a situation, a challenging beginning. If you look at it upside down, hold up. I usually don't know the upside down thing. I went right to the end. Okay. The Ace of Swords, upside down, hold up. Actually, that's kind of crazy. Even the book, they don't honor the upside down version.
Mine does. Let me get
so like, when you look at the cards, if you look at the idea, those cards actually have a tendency to represent the opposite when they're upside down. I mean, if you look at a situation of creating new ideals and inspiration, you're also looking at, it's almost like focusing on new ideals.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry, old ideals and old concepts. not seeing the truth of the situation, you know, not allowing yourself for that. Because, I mean, I sit here and look at a card, and that one there, positive, between me and this particular person, because it would be a challenging beginning, but it would be a beginning. But when you look at the situation, she's not looking at the ideal. So the challenging beginning is something that she sees, but just not comes to me anyway. Just not yet.
Okay, Queen of Swords, and this one says reversed, malice, bigotry, artificial, perjury, bail, decent. I don't like that because I don't think that's right. It's female sadness, embarrassment.
When I look at this, the Queen of Air is upside down. Okay, what I just told you is realistically what she wants to do. Okay, so we have it upside down.
She's turning it, and that makes so much better sense.
Right, but when you also look at the situation of a person in denial, she's actually denying the upright part.
Yeah.
So in the process of denying it, what the phoniness is the mask that she wears to cover up her true intent. I've had a conversation with her once before, and I was here talking about she's a multi-faced person. And I said, I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just that you have a tendency to carry a face for every person because you think you have to portray yourself that way with those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about this. If I'm having this conversation with her and she's opening up and saying, well, you know, when you're in business and you work and kind of stuff, you have to do those kind of things. Okay, we're having this conversation. So guess what's happening at that moment? She's not wearing a mask because she's trying to explain to me. We're having a conversation, so she's opening up to me. So I was sitting there looking at the situations of all those things. When a person has a tendency to open up or to communicate or be vulnerable, or even the idea of not wearing the mask, in a simple way, just not wearing the mask, that can be in itself, it can be intimidating. Because they're going to look at you and go, okay, why am I doing that with you when I've never really done it with anybody else? They're not realizing at that moment you just manifested you. You're looking at yourself. So therefore, you don't need to do that.
Because
this person that's standing right in front of you is a physical manifestation of how you feel about who you are and how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You like that. So you're trying to explain. Basically, if you think about it, you're trying to explain to yourself why you do things. But now you just have a physical manifestation to do it with, which is a good thing because realistically you're actually wanting to face that. Because, I mean, I think the conversation went to the point where, you know, once you just stop doing that, aren't you tired? It's like looking at somebody going, I mean, I remember I wrote to her, and at the end of the message I sent to her, or email, what you want to say, at the end of it, I put down saying, I hide behind my smile too. And my friend was like, she goes, I think that's really good because of what you said. Because basically what I said was, whatever happened between me and you only happened because we both wanted it. I manifested you, you manifested me. And with that said, I said I was really looking forward to getting to know you and getting to know that part of me. And I said, the sad thing about the whole thing is, by not, you know, you will never get to know that part of you by not getting to know me.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend was looking at me going, you really know how to write stuff, man. Can I write that down? I was like, okay, but the point is, the reason I said what I said, the reason it was so flowish is because it was the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I even wrote a poem that I sent to her in the process of conversations of saying, I'm not going to, it was like kind of funny, she responded to that one when I said I was really hurt by her being in a relationship, but when I sent her and wrote to her and said, I'm not giving up on you, you know, it's the connection we have, I don't want to let go of.
Yeah.
I can't turn my back on that because I've never had that freaking connection with anybody, which is the truth. I remember having a girlfriend. I've known her since March, and I had a girlfriend in there too where I actually took her to the store to introduce her to my friend, and I still felt the connection with her, which I thought, you know, realistically, with the connection I felt with her, I didn't think I would feel with her because I had a girlfriend
who
I thought I had a very good connection with, but it was like a realization of saying, maybe this girlfriend that you have is more of something you're trying to make more out of it. Because here's a person, you don't do nothing but be yourself. And you can feel a connection. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to find examples to prove it. It is what it is. So I was looking at the situation going, gosh, you know, it's kind of crazy, all the signs we see that some people don't take in consideration. You said the third card was what?
Eight of coins or pentacles. Yeah.
Let's see, the eight of pentacles. Mm-hmm. I got the five, the king. Where's the eight?
Well,
I found everything else
but. Should be real close. That's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Four. Got the four of eight. Let's see. Got the four. I must have missed it because okay. That'd be kind of crazy to actually find out I'm missing a card. Okay, four. Let's see. We got the ace. You said the eight, right? The eight of pentacles?
Eight of pentacles, yeah.
Eight as infinity, the symbol for infinity, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to look at the eight of pentacles as more of a grounding card. And the eight
mm-hmm.
itself is the ideal of a situation between two people that also
mm-hmm.
represents destiny and
mm-hmm.
also shows a connection of patience of a situation that will come together. Because
uh-huh.
of the connection and the bond, and even the point of saying seeds well planted. So it's the idea of being patient, having faith and letting go and allowing. And where the heck's my eight on my deck?
I can help you. You lost your card. And you pulled me a card. Did you pull me a card yet?
No.
No, you just said that I was moving.
Yeah, remember, I do my stuff mostly without cards.
Yeah, you do. And I've been told that you really aren't, you don't need the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
People,
anybody.
Talking about me?
You
or
don't
you?
Need them. You don't need them. I've been told I don't really need them. I just have to think.
Yeah, sometimes the situation is like a crutch, but sometimes it's... I like having cards because there are some people that are difficult with themselves.
Yeah.
So the visuals are good for them, not you.
Yeah.
Well, Sonny is in Kansas. The eight is evasive. Okay. What's this thing be on the bottom? Sonny Beach is in Kansas. Oh, there it is. I almost went by it. I was so ticked off. Okay, the eight of pentacles. See this one here?
Mm-hmm.
The reason I was going to take the combination, we always look at the outcome, right, with the three cards
mm-hmm.
you pull, right? The reason
mm-hmm.
I would do that, because on mine, it talks about skilled work is rewarded,
mm-hmm.
learning all there is to know about the topic, and going
mm-hmm.
back to school. Now, when you look at the situation of the relationship, of all the things I've learned that I've actually passed on to other people, which is
and
kind of wild because...
got them all lined up there as trophies.
Yeah, but when it was in it before, it talks about the queen
mm-hmm.
and the air and the ace
mm-hmm.
is basically cutting, being inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when's she going to take the sword and actually do what she needs to do in the ideal severing? Because
mm-hmm.
I actually saw a representation of this too when I saw something she put on Facebook where she was talking about the past. Let the past catch up with you. Now, when people start doing things visually, these
mm-hmm.
are also reflections of insecurities within themselves that they're trying to portray to everybody. That I don't have. That's why I always tell people, the best thing to do, if you're around me, is don't do nothing. Because the first time you do something, you're giving me insights to you and your insecurity why you have to do something. It's like the situation of her when she responded. Why did she respond? Because she felt like she had to respond. And it's like looking at the situation, we could analyze it, whatever, but maybe we should just look at the situation that just the idea of responding also gives us insight that this person really does care about you. That
mm-hmm.
she was really constructive in what she said to you because she wasn't ready to share with you those feelings. But at the same time, the feelings that she does have to you got her to respond to you because she felt what she did. Now, you look at the three cards, the third one sets it off because eight is the symbol of infinity. The thing I talk about the most in the ideal relationships is it's not a two-way street. It's the symbol of infinity, of how love goes between two people.
It keeps going around and around and around.
Yeah, but and the other thing, too, is on my card it talks about skilled work is rewarded. Now, is the eight upside down?
No.
No, it's upright, right?
Yes.
Okay, when you look at that.
It's bright.
Yeah, because it talks about a person that's represented in the two cards is going to recognize you for who you are. So therefore, the ideal of the situation between the two of you is the ideal of a person. You could look at the card as going back to school. Could also, schooling is just learning. It doesn't have to happen in a building.
It does not.
It can be just reading a book.
It can be, anywhere, any kind.
Look,
I'm learning tarot cards.
So when you look at the cards and you look at the situation, this gives us a person coming to that realization.
Yeah.
And seeing, because it says skilled worth rewarded, because you could also see the worth of seeing it, seeing you. And then wanting to know all there is about that situation, which means the ideal. Like I've seen before, my visualizations of her just showing up. It's like being at the shop. And that's what I was talking about before earlier, when we're talking about the situation, that we have to take into consideration of all the things that happened to us as variables for other things that could also come in our lives to see the situation of the shop and the person were actually introduced into my life at the same time. And one was told it was a definite impossibility, which now is a reality because I actually have that shop and I'm actually working in it. But
you
also
bought it,
felt like that. Right. And so in the process of, I felt like it was crucially important to get that shop because I feel like it also contributes to the second part. It's a beacon. Believe me.
I keep saying that I need a job to go to Arizona because I'm out of here. I'm gone. But I need, today to move my movers and stuff like that. And I keep saying, I need to get a job. A temp agency called me Friday. I don't know, I haven't thought about it, just other than send my resume through. I don't know if they're going to even, take the job, whatever, or offer me the job. But that would give me the money I would need to make a move.
There you go. I'm just saying with the situation in hand, some kind of crazy stuff.
Now, what do you see for me? You haven't read me for a long time. I pulled you three cards, and they're fairly good cards, aren't they? I hit pretty hard, didn't I?
They look good.
Pardon me?
I think so.
Thank you. I used to practice with a friend all the time every night, but now she doesn't do cards. They're evil.
Right. I hit this freaking thing again. Everybody left. Somebody popped in the room for a minute. I was actually going back and forth, checking on the chat.
Well, that's nice of you.
Let's see. Saying hello to everybody.
Good
information in the chat room. Contacting for readings and such. Let's see. Chat. And I just want to sit here and tell everybody, hey, if you're out there listening, if you just tuned in, this is Psychic X Journey Man here on Psychic X Journey Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio, Block Talk Radio. It's now 10:41 p.m. Mountain Time here in Manitou Springs. It's 12/7/2012, and I also want to tell you guys, when it comes to 12/21, don't worry about it. If you're going to one of those, the world's going to come to an end party, the worst thing you got to worry about is the hangover the next day. Okay. Also, if you want to get a private reading from me, please call me at 740-500-8863 or 719-344 8699 or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We got a special going on for the freaking holidays where it's $1 a minute for every reading I have. We actually have 90-minute readings too, which used to go for $135, but for the holiday special, you can get those for $1 a minute too, which are only going to cost you $90, which is a heck of a deal, definitely a discount. But also with the situation of all the information we give everybody, and realize one thing, we can also work on Skype, and we can also work with your budget. So whatever that is, let us know, and let's make it happen. All right. And plus, you're making a reading now. We still got 17 minutes and 38 seconds, so give us a call here, 646-721-9031. Okay. So we got the sponsor. I had sponsors at one time, but...
That's okay. You don't need sponsors.
Okay. How about donations?
Donations are fine, but you don't need that. You're fine. You're gonna be fine.
I always seem to have the money for everything. Yeah.
Yeah. See?
I really want to change that. I want random, it's spelled ORANUM.com.
Mm-hmm.
So actually where you get to see the psychic on webcam in a free chat setting before you decide if you want to do a private reading or not. So join me. I'm called Psychic X Journey on there.
Yeah. But if they do they charge you to work there?
No, what happens is they take a percentage every time I do a reading, so I don't have to pay any up front.
I would just contact you then. Because you already get the preview here. I would just contact him personally.
I'm just saying, when you look at the situation of that company and stuff, I've been working there for over 2 years.
Yeah,
Over the summer months,
mm-hmm.
I hit way over $1,000 at the pay period.
I can believe that.
So I was like, okay, I need to get back up there. But it was just this thing with...
I sent them all to your personal website, so. But I want them to know that, you know, even though you say 90 minutes, sometimes it can go over until you get something out that you feel needs to be out.
Oh, shoot.
Did you hang up on me?
See, the three cards for you is...
Oh, shoot.
Yours was high. The first one was the King of Wands. No, I'm sorry, the Knight of Wands. So it was passion, adventurous, self-assured, but restless. And then it actually shows a lot of things happening where it's going to be suddenly everything starts. It's like sudden events that happen that need your attention. So it's like things coming together very quickly.
Yeah,
real fast. Yeah. So it says, still think things through, but it's just the idea that all these things are going to happen. And the process of thinking them through is actually saying that you will definitely have the time to do all those things. And I guess it's one of those things where you look at the situation, right, where it's saying that answers to your question, you know, the solution. But it's just the idea of thinking things through carefully, just really looking at the situation, which way you're going to proceed to go into. And then the King of Air, which is the King of Swords, talks about the idea of focusing on your assertiveness, the idea of speaking your mind confidently, the idea of seeking out professional advice. Hello. Anyway.
I've been watching.
The Moon card talks about the idea of important psychic insights, okay? But it also says release fears that hold you back. The three cards together is showing that you're too cautious to actually, doesn't mean it can't be corrected, it's just showing a lot of being too cautious in some sense of the word. Instead of allowing these two sides of you to actually help you to follow through.
With readings and that, with my psychic and that.
Yeah, it's one of those things, every time something presents itself to you, then follow through with it, see where it goes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are going to sit there and look at you and call you all kinds of things, get mad, this, that, and the other. But all they're doing is basically Emma Rose. He's talking about a woman he's interested in. He is reading it as his person cards, but they are his cards. Well, thank you. But if we look at the situation of two people reflecting each other too as well, of course they would, because we reflect each other that much. It's like the idea of getting the insights to twin flames, which are the most reflective, almost like twins. They're reflecting each other.
Each other, yes.
Yeah, that's the most intense reflection in relationships that you can have, okay? So therefore, the cards you pull could represent the ideal of just also a confirmation about me and this person of actually having that twin flame connection, which also could give us insights about when you have twin flames connections, right, okay? It's like looking at situations of two people being one when they were created eons ago. Now they come back, now they come together. You know, sometimes some people can actually interact with those situations and embrace it. Like I said, people, there's a, you know, when we have situations or relationships that have a problem, okay, you look at the situation, one embraces it, the other one's questioning it. But they both see it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the one's questioning it is the question themselves. The other person is really sure about themselves, so they're sure about the situation. That's why they embrace it. So when you look at the situation, what you're talking about, I'm ready to embrace it because I see the same thing too as well. I see it as a challenge in the beginning, but I definitely see that challenge in the beginning leading to something very interesting and very, very, I want to say phenomenal and amazing and awesome, because that's what I saw when I first saw her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you look at the situation, you know, it's almost like a perfect example of looking at the situation of a person finally seeing me for who I am, but also in the process of working in this shop, which I've been getting a lot of readings to, not a lot of readings, I'm just saying there's been a lot of confirmation that says you need to focus on your own spirituality, you need to focus on the shop, your work, and all that, because that's the key to getting everything else. So it's the ideal that I work in a metaphysical shop. This other person does too as well. There's a connection, because I'm always sending people to her shop, because I don't sell stuff. All we do is readings.
Okay.
I've been thinking about it, but I haven't
come to a conclusion.
Yeah, what I should. Well, I want to sit there and do something where it's not a lot of stuff, but it's something that I can stand behind.
I sent you a picture.
Oh, no, I saw that. Okay. Was that a flower on the bottle?
It's a smoking bottle, incense burner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, now I get it.
Uh-huh.
So I was saying, okay, but with your cards, it's like the ideal. The one thing I see the most is the idea of speaking with confidence, but it's also the ideal of starting it within yourself and say, okay, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to keep going because this is the direction we need to go into until it's final.
Mm-hmm.
And even with that situation, with the moon card, you know, the many phases of the moon, it also shows many phases of you, the relationship, mm-hmm. you know, business, career, the whole thing. So it's like many, many levels to be explored. So when you think you've got to a point where it's like, okay, I'm comfortable, something else will present itself. Follow through with it. Constant progression. I love it.
That, you know, that is like the best reading I've had in, forever. And you know what? Everything is going to start hitting right now. But I'm also going to be in Arizona by February.
I had a friend of mine not too long ago, a couple years ago. I told her the same thing. She said she was projecting that she would be in Arizona between 7 to 9 months. And it was like in 2-3.
Uh-huh.
I honestly helped her out a little bit because I met somebody, and then I connected those two together, which this other person lived in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And then she went from Georgia to Arizona.
I think
she was projecting. She thought, she's like, I see 7 to 9 months. I said, I don't.
Okay, what do you say to me?
Yeah, so it's the ideal. Connections happen very quickly. They change the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone, I feel a connection between a particular person is going to happen. And when that happens, it's just going to be a conversation. It's almost like you get the impression. One conversation And next thing you know, it's a relationship, just that quick. I mean, can you really figure it out or explain it? Or even the idea, should you?
Are you talking
or should
about
you just
me?
Let it? No. I'm talking about me. But I'm talking about the situation. And once you, once certain things do start falling in place, don't be surprised exactly what happens.
Okay.
What changes, what is X'd out in favor, what you'll see that was actually in your best interest, and all those kind of things like that.
Well, I thought you were going to have me have a heart attack because you're saying relationship. I'm thinking, holy cow, I want a relationship. I don't think I'll be having a relationship.
You said you're already in one, right?
I'm married. I'm leaving him.
You're leaving him. Okay, so the idea, it's not uncommon for people to make the decisions in the process of a situation that should have been made long before it was. So in the process of meeting somebody, it would have happened a little more smoother. Certain things would have been followed through. I had a lady do that one time too. She's like, I don't want this person to be a rebound. Okay, he's not a rebound, because it's like the situation, the relationship she was in should have ended 2 years prior. And if she would have followed through with that, when she met this other person, she'd be single.
Mm-hmm.
But since she dragged her feet with procrastination, it didn't work out quite that way, but the meeting still happened.
Well, see, I was going to leave, and then I lost my job. So.
Mm-hmm. I just look at everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
All contributing to the outcome that you want.
Yeah.
All right? There's somebody in the chat. I mean, not chat. The queue wants to talk to you as well. So if you want to stick around, that's fine. I'll just go to the other person.
Yeah, put me on hold if you don't mind.
Okay, no problem. Okay, I will.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll talk later.
Okay.
All right, area code 661. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hey, how are you? It's Bob.
Say what?
I said, how are you? It's Bob.
Oh, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Trouble hearing me?
No, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. I was just trying to figure out my end what was going on.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you have any predictions on the Redskins-Ravens game?
Redskins-Ravens.
Yeah, man. That's the hot topic around here.
The last time someone said about Alabama, and I forget who they were playing that time, and I said Alabama. And the guy goes, no. I'm sitting there going, okay. The next thing I know, here, Alabama won. I was like, okay. We're on a streak. I would have just done something about it, but, you know.
Right.
And neither here nor there. No, I get the impression Ravens.
Boo. Well, I was a Redskins. I hope you're wrong. Sorry, but I'm a Redskin fan, but we'll see.
Yeah. And my brother does the same thing to me, too, when I predict that Dallas was losing. So Dallas has been pretty good about that anyway. But
well, I'm glad when they lose.
So my brother's a diehard Dallas fan. He's been a Dallas fan from day one. He's never changed. My other brother.
Well, I can respect that.
Well, my other brother is like this. Whoever's winning. He's been a 49ers fan. He's been a Bronco. He's been
front runner.
All right. Yeah.
He's a front runner.
Yeah, he's got the backbone of a jelly butt, you know.
Well, I never liked Dallas being a Redskins fan, obviously, but
of course
I have to hate the Cowboys and all that, but only in a sports rivalry fun kind of sense, because I don't know any of them personally, you know what I mean? But but I can respect the fact that your brother has been a diehard since day one, so, you know.
Yeah, but we've had those rivalries, too. We used to live in Maryland. So, you know, we're right there with Washington, D.C. and a whole bit. You're like, okay. This could be kind of kick. But when we used to live in Florida, he was also a Florida Gators fan. And then we had the Gators and the Bulldogs.
Oh, okay. Georgia Bulldogs, right.
Yeah. Rivalry going back and forth. And I was like, geez, man. But
yeah.
I tell everybody, like, people ask me, like, okay, what's your team? I don't have one. I'm a person that if I walk in your house and you're watching a football game, and you got all the stuff there where you're into the game kind of thing, I get into watching. But I don't make a point.
Yeah.
That's just me, man. If a girlfriend's got something better to do, like, I don't know, 3 hours of sex, I'm sorry, guys, football's going to get taped.
Yeah, no, that's a good choice, I'd say, yeah.
Right, or if she wants to go do something, and I mean, I just have a thing about if I have a girlfriend, I like to interact with her, so it's like one of those things, But, hey, we got all these recording devices, so, hey, why not use them to your advantage of recording whatever?
Right, exactly.
That's a win-win situation. When she's sleeping, I'm watching, I'm watching
exactly.
A football game. Yeah.
And when she wants to occupy your time in a, fun way, that's not a bad choice either, so hey.
Well, that's the whole idea. If you're going to sit there and be a relationship counselor, you have to live the part, too, as well, of how your life reflects, so that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm not like some of these guys who are like relationship counselors and they beat their wives. That's like a counter
and
a half.
I've never beaten a woman. Never.
Yeah.
I've been with some that argue, well, they did deserve it, actually. When their own family's telling you, you should have beat her butt, then, man, she's probably in the wrong.
You're right. If the parents are telling you how much of a bitch she is, I think you should listen.
Yeah.
But that's also perception.
Huh.
That's one thing I always had a problem with, too.
Well,
I could call my ex-wife was, but I could never get to that point of calling her that, so I used to call her a witch, but I could never use the B word for some reason. Well, we're actually down to the end of the show, so was there anything else you wanted to say, anything else you wanted to ask before we go?
Well, since you're on the subject, relationships. When's it going to get, halfway normal?
What was that last part?
Where's the good women at? They all seem to be kind of goofy, man.
What are you talking about, man? They're on Venus.
Is that where they are?
No, it's where... See, the one thing about perception, I heard a lady do this one time. And she goes, I can't understand how come I keep attracting married men. But if you listen to her talk, she used to sit there and say, all the good ones are married. So her perception manifested married men, good married men. It wasn't until she changed her perception and she did her list again that she actually formulated a little bit differently and said, I want with a single man who wants me as much as I want them. And then she finally found a guy who was single and finally had a good relationship. It was just the idea of changing her perception. And it was also the way she was taught. Okay?
The way she was taught?
Yeah, she was brought up that way, that, she heard it all the time. Her mother was always wishing she was with somebody else. She was married. Right, so she was always saying every time she would run into somebody, she goes, well, all the good ones are always married. Even though she was married, but as a child, that's all she heard, She was hearing her mother's imperfection. She was hearing her mother complain about what she didn't have. So therefore, in the process of growing up, she started manifesting in her own life. It wasn't until she changed her perception and realized these thoughts in her subconscious mind could be changed. So therefore, she could change the outcome and actually be with somebody and have a successful relationship. She was also taught, too, you had to make a choice. It was either a great career or a great relationship.
Huh. Interesting.
So you sit there and look at the situation. Well, how did... So, y'all the good ones, it's the ideal of realizing realistically, unless you want to be a gigolo and you want to nail all the good ones. If you're actually looking for a one, then you knock it down. Because I had a friend of mine did the same thing with a house. She was told by her realtor that she had to have do the numbers game, had to have all these people come through her house and do all this freaking bullshit. And I said, no, fire him, hire me, and I'll get your house sold in a week. So I told her how to do it on a manifestation kind of level where I told her, I said, you need to take the situation and you need to look at it for what? You only need one person to buy your house. Okay? So just to take your perception and say, okay, I want it now. I want it, and then visualize a guy coming up to you and say, I'll take your house. Also take another step and cut the connections to everything and anything, to the house itself, emotional, whatever it was, and say, okay, I'm done. She even did the same thing where she was having a tough time where she was like, why am I still connected to that area? And she realized she hadn't changed. She moved to California. She didn't realize that she hadn't changed her driver's license. It was still a Colorado driver's license, so it was all these connections. But once she took the proper steps and severed all the ties, everything fell apart. And she did sell her house, I think it was either a week or 2 weeks, when her freaking realtor hadn't sold it in, I think, 2 months.
Huh. It's pretty wild.
So
I guess you could apply the same thing to relationships, huh?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we try to sit there and tell people don't get obsessive. Try to make it, like in your situation, I would just sit there and just put it out there. And the ideal, just what is the right person for you?
Wonder what the answer to that would ever be. Good Lord. That would be a tragic comedy if they made a movie of my love life. I'm glad I got a deep sense of gallows humor about me, I tell you what.
Hey, you know something? I've seen situations where, you know, people think they can't find that one person that reflects them that they can actually deal with and get along with and have something. And then when it does happen, they're kind of like taking a step back, looking at the situation, going, okay, that wasn't supposed to happen. Get over it. Embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I don't know, man. With me, I keep running into women that are very disrespectful to me, man. And I can't stomach it too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, I find, like, so deflating, you know, with these females these days, man. I had one poke a finger in my eye, actually. Yeah, seriously. And I didn't hit her. I didn't even call the cops on her. And her cousin, her grandma, said you should have beat her ass. And I'm like, no way. More than twice her size.
Uh-huh.
You know? And the other ones are like verbally just like deflating
right.
me, you know, too, you know.
Mom, I'm just saying, with certain situations I've been into, okay, that when you have a woman who's disrespecting you, you got to take a good look at yourself and go, okay, what's up?
Yeah, I just walked. I walked.
You might, yeah, I'm just saying, in a situation like that, I found that there's a little flaw within me that they're actually picking up on and try to take advantage of me. Huh. Once you figure that out, you start attracting different women with a little more respect. Because you actually took the time to have that respect for yourself to find that whatever it was, that glitch.
Well, I laid down the law. It's like, hey, you need to respect me at all times, and I left. So, but I don't know. Man, the funniest thing, not funny, I kind of really felt for this one kid. He's 21-year-old in the Air Force. Saw him in the airport like a couple days ago, right? And this kid told me he'd been on leave. His girl cheated on him or something and was interested in another guy now. And they were together and all this stuff and didn't appreciate him. And I was like, holy moly, this kid's me, you know. At 21 years old in the military or whatever. I'm like, he's me. And I'll never forget that kid. I don't remember his name, but I'll never forget him. And I was just like, well, it just happened to me. It was like we could really relate and stuff. And, like, he was saying it, too. And it was just like, man, what is up here, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So it's pretty wild, man. I mean.
Well, it can drive you crazy.
Yeah, the disrespect that's been hurled my way from women is unbelievable, man. Seriously. Unbelievable. I had one tell me, sit, Ubu, sit. And snap her fingers at me like I was a dog. And then at dinner, in front of other men, put her hand up when I started talking in my face, like repeatedly, like 5-6 times during the course of dinner. I'm just like, what is going on here? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know, man. They didn't seem to mistake kindness for weakness.
Yeah.
What do you do about that? I mean, other than become an ogre, you know? What do you got to do?
I just look at the situation, take a weakness, and turn it into a positive. So therefore, there's nothing they use against me anymore. And the ideal is standing up strong and say, okay, this is who I am. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. All I can sit here and say is I know for a fact that in the process of doing that, I've had a lot of girls that would normally do that don't do that. So all I can do is give you from experience of the things I've done and what the positive outcome was, which is kind of pretty cool.
Well, I've been, they make you kind of stand up for yourself, and it's like, I don't feel I should ever have to do that. I mean, why can't they just, like, accept your kindness as just as who you are and not as a weakness that they can, like, kind of, like, beat you up about or with or something? I don't know. It's just like, come on, just appreciate a decent guy who's not, you know, disrespecting you.
Well, I understand the decent. I understand that one completely, because I was in a situation too where it was like being with a girl who actually got to the point of beating me to the freaking floor. And people are like, "What'd you do that for?" It's like this. If she's like that, I'm pretty sure she's like friends I've had who were in a bar fight, and the cops show up. They don't sit and say, I did it. They blame the other person. So therefore, it's best to let her beat you to the floor. So when the cops show up, they see you're on the floor, she's still standing up, she goes to jail. It's just simple as that. Which actually, in the situation, is exactly what happened when we were in Florida. She pushed the issue of clocking me in the freaking jaw, was at the mark. The cops show up, she's thinking, I'll play Mrs. Innocent. I got my sister and my mom will be my witnesses. Well, actually, it was a 20-year-old veteran, cop came to the door. He'd seen this stuff before. He just looked at her, and he goes, okay, he's got a mark on his face. What was in my favor was her daughter had never really had a father until I came along. Of somebody actually listening to her. And, so she told the cop the truth about what had happened, about everything, and plus the ex-girlfriend at the time was on painkillers and drinking rum and coke, which you didn't have to be a psychic to figure that one out because the breath was pretty impotent. Plus, she couldn't stand up.
Right.
But it's like one of those situations you just kind of like let it go, let it unfold. Her mother comes to the door and says, okay, you know, you're going to go to jail, so you might as well just, you know, take the whole thing. And I said, you know something, this is the time to be looking at the situation of my intuition, my psychic abilities, and looked her right in the face and said, you know something? Somebody's going to jail, but I have a funny feeling I know who it is, and you're not going to like it. And the funny thing about it was that's how everything fell out that night. Even to the point where, this was kind of funny too, because he was sitting there talking to my ex in the cruiser, and she said, well, he's a child molester. Molester. And the cop looked at her and said, that might be so, but you're still going to jail. Because she thought if she sit there, because what she was trying to do was her daughter was there. So if she goes to jail, where's the daughter go? So she's trying to portray the whole thing with her, I guess you would say her drug, alcohol-induced mind was thinking, if she makes me look like a threat, they'll let her go because it's her kids.
Huh.
Not realizing they already had that pretty much, you know, planned out.
That's crazy.
And she still went to jail anyway.
Well, I was with an alcoholic as well one time. This girl was a little thing, and she wasn't that. She was actually, we got along really good, except for when she drank E&J brandy, and then she turned into like a mean drunk. And I always bore the brunt of it, you know. I was real patient. And I get home, getting ready. I was tired of it after so long, whatever, probably about a year and a half.
Whiskey.
And finally, I was like ready to roll out. And I come home from work one day, and I'm paying for everything, the apartment myself, you know. And, and she was there with some friends, and some people, and I had a buddy with me. And there was maybe six people, and then she starts starting in on me, and I was just, oh no, I can't take this. I just get home. All these people there, I wanted to be left alone, but and then she starts getting mean to me, and I just wanted to be left alone, which she didn't like. She takes my hockey skates, throws them through the window. Knocks the TV off the stands, trying to break that. Then there's a stereo she knocked off its stand. And then I'm a professional musician, and she's going after this guitar that's on a guitar stand, and I got to it just before she got to that. Lord only knows what would have happened to it. And then she picks up a knife and tries to stab me three times. And the third time got a little too close to my neck, you know. And I'm like screaming at everybody to get her to F out of there. Nobody's doing anything. They're just enjoying the show, you know. And I'm like, get her out of here. She's, you know, going to just destroy the place, which she was doing. Oh, she put a hole in the wall and is reaching in there trying to break the plumbing behind the wall. I'm like, oh, my God. And, well, I did restrain her. And I threw her down on the floor, you know. And then everybody broke us up, you know what I mean? Cops come. They didn't haul me away because everybody told her that she was going ballistic in there, you know. And it was all her fault, which it was. I'd just gotten home from work. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, you know?
Oh.
So alcoholics, no, man. I just ran into another alcoholic, man. It was like disrespecting.
Look at the situation. This is worse. The alcoholic or the person on the painkillers.
I don't know, man.
Either way you look at the situation, it's like learning from those experiences to realize that when those things happen, the best thing to do is walk away. Because they're not good. Because they're not good for themselves.
Yeah. Well, I did that actually a couple days ago. Yesterday. Yesterday? Say Friday? Yeah. Yeah.
And you ran?
Oh, yeah. After like 2 days, I went out to visit somebody. I got disrespected. There was more. It was more subtle, much more subtle than that other past experience with alcoholic. You know, it wasn't like liquor. It was just wine, but it was like a couple glasses at night. It was still there. You know, there's definitely an alcoholic, but, and there was some disrespect. Like I said, sit, Ubu, sit, and snapping the fingers and putting the hand in my face and that crap.
I've done that before.
I couldn't believe it.
Don't they also have that little phrase you just said at the end of a couple of sitcoms where they get done with the thing and at the end of it, they always have that little
right
show and the producers of the show.
Who produced it or something like that. Sit, Ubu, sit.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I think I saw it after an episode of Smallville.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, it's a production guy's credit thing or whatever, I guess, at the end of like whatever program that did. They, you know, yeah, that's where it came from. Yep. Well, I took offense at that. It was very just.